Good. All right, Kevin, we have been dying all day long to hear about what happened to you on Friday.
Friday, I was taking an Uber.
How come?
It's going to a doctor's appointment.
Okay.
So I called the Uber.
Couldn't drive home because of medication.
Right. Called the Uber. It's an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't quite ready yet, but when I went out, I saw the SUV. It was parked sort of at a weird angle. I was like, why would somebody park like that? But I guess he's waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened the back door, and I said, are you an Uber? And a girl just looked at me. Didn't react in any way. So I thought, I mean, I guess that's a yes. So I started to step in the back of her car, and she screamed,
oh no,
bloody murder.
Oh no.
And stomped on the gas. And I felt so terrible. I was like, I just want to tell you, I thought you were my, and I couldn't say anything because she peeled out and left.
Were you in the car when she peeled out?
No, I was just starting to put my right foot in. And then I took my right foot out.
Was the back door?
Then I put my right foot in and I shook it all off.
Nice.
Was the back door open when she took off?
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
did she think you were trying to carjack her from the back seat?
That's all I can guess. I mean, I really felt terrible because she was terrified. And I didn't get a chance to say, look, I'm not terrifying. I thought you were an Uber.
Yeah, and but usually guys would say, I'm not terrifying. Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to say that because she was gone.
Do you think she didn't speak English?
Because are you an Uber? You know what I'm saying?
It's an explanation.
Yeah.
I don't know. She didn't say anything, so I don't know. All I know is, man, oh, man, did I scare the crap out of her, and I felt like hell.
Aww.
It was the worst.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, like, wave her down and go, look, you're good. It's all...
You should have chased after her.
Yeah.
And waved a gun.
That's a terrifying... I mean, it really is a terrible feeling when you're a bad guy, not on purpose.
Right.
Well, you know?
Hey, welcome to my life, by the way.
Oh, Dean,
welcome to my life.
Please.
Can I tell you how many completely innocent things have come out of my mouth that all of a sudden somebody decides is creepy?
I mean, some of that's in the delivery. That's all I'm saying. So what we're going to do is we're going to take calls. You accidentally terrified someone. Mike?
Oh, my goodness. So radio legend, rock and roll legend Rodney Bingenheimer worked here at K-Rock for God knows how long. And when I first started at K-Rock, and I mean my first couple weeks, it was Coachella, and I was the only sober person for a 100-mile radius. So the promotions director trusted me to drive the van home after Sunday night's Coachella. By the time we got back here to the station, it was already like maybe 2 in the morning. And just the weekend prior, there was a big problem with homeless people breaking into the parking lot and stealing stuff out of people's vehicles and even stealing vehicles.
Right.
Trying to. I pulled in and I did not know what Rodney looks like. And if you don't know what Rodney looks like, it is a bit shocking.
Yes, it is. I don't know that I would jump to that's a guy breaking in, though.
Well,
because that guy's not breaking into anything.
But he is pushing a shopping cart full of his records that he's going to play.
Oh.
So I think to myself, oh my gosh, I just caught a guy in the act, a homeless man in the act of breaking into our parking lot.
Red-handed, Mike.
So I throw the vehicle in park, and it's like, because I didn't even slow it down. I just throw it in park, and I run out, and I'm like, hey, hey! And he's a very slight man.
Yeah.
And I pushed him just a little bit, and he flies up against the gate.
Oh, no.
Touch me, I'm going to scream.
Like, what are you doing? And I kick over his shopping cart.
No.
I was like, get out of here. Get out.
You are killing me.
So in the middle of this, maybe five-second interaction, another guy who's been working at K-Rock a long time wakes up out of his drunken stupor and gets out of the car and goes, what are you doing? Dude, stop. I go, what? This guy's trying to break into K-Rock, man. I'm going to. I said, That's Rodney.
I was like, he works here.
Oh
my God, really?
Oh,
so I just ran away.
No.
You ran away.
Yeah.
You didn't even apologize.
You didn't say you're sorry?
I was so panicked. I don't know what to do.
Super sad.
And so I drive home and I think to myself, I've lost my job. There goes my job. I'm done.
Oh.
And I never heard anything about it. The last I heard
was sad.
And I feel like there's a statute of limitations on being a giant dick. So I don't feel that bad telling the story on the air because that was 15 years ago or something.
So you're brand new.
You're brand new at K Rock, and you practically assault a K Rock legend.
Practically,
yeah.
Because I'm awesome.
That's what happened, and I felt so bad. I felt horrible. I terrorized Rodney.
Did you ever run into him again?
Oh, I used to do Loveline and see him every week.
And you never said, sorry about that, dude.
I had
Did
a shaved
he avoid
head.
You in the hallway?
I had a shaved head at the time. And then by the time Loveline came around, which was, you know, a decade later, I looked like practically a completely different person.
Do
you think he remembers?
Oh, he remembers
sure.
that. Are you kidding? How many people have thrown him against a fence?
But he never really, he was always cool with me. In fact, he would always, he was the guy, he's like, you're the guy from Kevin and Bean that I can trust.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And at that point, did you say, no, I'm not.
Separate, I almost kicked your ass.
Thank God.
That's rock and roll. What can I say?
All right, Mike. Thank you for that. Did you terrify someone accidentally, like Mike did with Rodney, or like Kevin did with that poor lady who wasn't driving an Uber on Friday? 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of AFI, let's take one phone call, and let's make it Jacob, who's calling from Monrovia. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well, thank you. You accidentally terrified someone.
Yeah, so this was back when I was in high school and I was taking an art class. There was this cute little girl that I liked in my class, and I liked messing around with her every now and then. And so one day I came up from behind her, and then I just whispered into her like a really quiet boo. And she screamed like insanely loud in the class, and everybody just looked towards me, and I felt so bad because I like legitimately terrified her, and nobody said anything, and that just added to my guilt, and it was really bad.
So everybody just saw you and they thought you were terrorizing her.
I'm going to say this doesn't qualify. You walked up behind somebody and said boo. You were trying to scare that person.
But I would say
I meant it like innocently, like
yeah. I would say he was 5% trying to scare her and 95% trying to flirt with her.
Yeah, that's more accurate.
Man,
you guys end up getting married or what?
No.
All right, thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls next on Kevin and Bean.
Matt Bellany, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, joins us later to continue our Oscar coverage. Also, Robert Kirkman is going to be in talking about Walking Dead and his new book that he has coming out. And right now we're taking your calls on You Accidentally Terrified Someone. The Pepperoni Playboy, frequent contributor of the Kevin Bean Twitter account, at Kevin Bean, says, I was coming out of the grocery store and trying to get into my car, but my key wasn't working. I tried and tried while jiggling the door handle and nothing. And then I realized there were children in the car, and it wasn't my car. Which I'm sure was very terrifying for the youngsters in the back seat, right?
I don't want to incriminate myself, but I've done that several times.
Have you really now? All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we go to line 3, please? Let's talk to Adrian Santa Ana up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? How are you doing?
We are doing well. You accidentally terrified someone.
I went to Downtown Disney to go to the movies with my brother, actually like a bunch of family members, but I was waiting on my brother and his girlfriend, and I saw them coming from the parking lot behind security. So I went and hid behind a pillar or something just to jump out and scare them.
Right.
So when they were close, I jump out. I go, bitches, why are you late? And I heard the most terrifying scream, and it was a couple from Japan, and she clutched her purse, and the guy fumbled his coffee, and I couldn't apologize.
Oh, no.
Like, as much as I tried to apologize, it just kind of seemed worse. And luckily, my brother and his girlfriend were there, and they came over to me. And eventually, they laughed, but I, you know,
poor people
came all the way to the United States to get frightened.
Very funny. Thank you for the call, Adrian. Appreciate you listening. Thank you. Let's go to Ramesh, I want to say, line 6. Ramesh is in Manhattan Beach, and he has a story. Let's find out if we believe him or not.
Hey, Ramesh.
This incident, hi, how are you?
Good.
Now, this is very much true, so I'll preface it that I'm from Sri Lanka, right? So I've got naturally brown skin. My father-in-law takes us to his 5 daughters, my wife being one of them, and their husbands down to Costa Rica to the Four Seasons about 10 years ago for his 60th birthday. And we were down at a dinner party at the beach, and I'm addicted to chapstick, so I forgot my chapstick, so wanted to rush back up to the room to get it. Didn't know until later that I hit 3201 instead of 4201. I walked in what I thought was my room, which was slightly ajar because the deadbolt was left open, which I thought I did. And I walk into a glass shower with a lady butt naked taking a shower. We stare at each other. I scream. She screams so loud. I run out of there. But the worst part was, for the next 7 days, I had to walk around the hotel, and they had put out an alert to keep an eye out for a dark-skinned guy in a floral shirt walking around the property as a predator.
I just want to clarify that you scream first. Is that true?
No, she screamed first, and covered herself, is all I remember. And all in my head is I felt really bad for her because I probably ruined her trip, that there's a stalker, and I probably ruined the guy's trip because, you know, she's going to be freaked out the whole time.
Sure.
And then I had, so it was.
Plus no chapstick. There was no chapstick in there.
Right? Where's the chapstick?
I did get my chapstick eventually.
That is a crazy story to accidentally walk into somebody else's room while they're taking a shower.
Done it.
All right. Is there anything you haven't done, Kevin?
Thank you, Ernest, for the call.
Thank you. That's great. All right. Let's go to Rich in Montebello. He's on line 4. I think you guys are going to appreciate the twist in his story.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. You accidentally scared someone.
Yeah. The person I scared happened to be Bean.
All right.
Oh.
And I don't know if Bean remembers this, but we were at, it was a Weenie Roast, I want to say probably 2 years ago, and I noticed he happened to be sitting behind us. And I guess I got starstruck with Bean, and I jumped over the seat from where I was sitting and had my camera ready and put it right there in front of Bean's face. And he all of a sudden got all scared and was throwing his hands up like, whoa, what are you doing? And I was really sorry, Bean. I just was trying to get a picture with you.
You're lucky he didn't drop you.
he was scared.
These hands are registered lethal weapons. You know that, right, Rich? All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Nicholas Anaheim, line 2. He had a Kevin-esque experience he wants to tell us about.
Hey, Nicholas.
Hi. So what happened was my mom dropped me off at the grocery store. I went inside and she went to go park. I came out to, after a while, I came out to, and I got into the car.
Right.
The first car I saw, it looked like my mom's.
Right.
I look over after I get in, and I look at the lady, and her face is pale.
It wasn't your mom.
Oh, you're not my mom. And I jumped out of the car, and my mom was parked 2 spaces over, and she saw the whole thing happen.
Oh, that's funny. Did she call you an idiot?
She couldn't talk. She was too busy laughing at me.
Well, she should have. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
I do have one other story, and this was at a Kings game this past Saturday night.
Oh,
and, yeah, quite the weekend.
Yes, and we
the Uber thing happened Friday, and this happened Saturday.
And we had just scored, and I was very excited, and I was running out to go to the bathroom. Another guy was running the opposite way, and he got closer than I am to you, Allie, probably 2 feet away, and said, "Cav Dong!"
Oh.
And I very close, very nearly fell to the ground.
Terrified.
Scared the crap out of me. And then he just kept running. He was laughing the whole way. So he did the right.
We're about 20, 25 minutes away from unveiling the latest Kevin and Bean t-shirt, you guys.
How about that? Oh. Very exciting.
I think people are going to love this one. I'm really excited about it.
Same.
So that's coming up, and a special guest is going to help us introduce you to it coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, last week, the best video of the whole week came from a television station in San Diego, their weekend morning show called Good Morning San Diego. And they had a reporter named Dave Scott. We spent a lot of time on this last week. This is the guy who was out at the Inflatables Festival with just a nonsensical 3-minute interview with people on the scene, people who worked, Mr. Wacky, who worked the event. This is the kind of thing that Dave was giving us last week.
Now, does that mean that everybody here becomes an inflatable today?
Do they want to be inflatables today?
Do you guys want to be inflatable?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing about that makes sense.
What sense does that make sense? I don't understand.
He asked terrible questions. He has terrible interaction with the hosts of the show back in the studio. And, Kevin, you were so fascinated by Dave Scott that you went on a deep dive.
I spent about 2 hours researching Dave Scott.
Oh, wow.
On Friday because, I don't know, you get obsessed with something. Then you start looking at other reports. Mm-hmm. There's a 3-parter that he had on Mother's Day. Now, I know this isn't timely because Father's Day is coming up. But this is for Mother's Day, and I'm not positive what year it was, but this is Dave Scott at his best. Mm-hmm. So basically, they send him out on the streets on Mother's Day. And I think the idea is for him to just wander the streets until he finds a mother and then say, "Thank you." Is it possible it's that thin of an idea?
I mean, it could be, but it also shouldn't be that hard to find a mom either. Most women are.
You would think, right?
Mother's Day, Dave Scott is out in La Jolla saying thanks to moms. Hoping they're enjoying the day. Oh, is it the children's pool?
Good morning, Dave.
All right, you guys, here's the thing. I know that we're on Mom Watch today, and Mother's Day is very, very special. But I think if you're a mom, you're going to love this scene. Because, well, come on in here, my friend. This is...
All right, so he's going to interview a mom.
Mr.
Clearly.
Wacky?
No, I wish. Clearly, he's going to interview a mom.
Obviously.
He never sounds prepared at all. Whatever it is he's doing, he's making it up as he goes along.
I feel like somebody in the studio says in his ear, look, you need to stall for like 10 minutes because we got nothing. Because then he talks to this guy.
Let me get your name.
Michael Reese.
Michael, and who's your son?
This is Asher Reese.
Now, I know it's Mom's Day today.
It is.
But you're out here... And is Mom nearby?
She's sleeping. She helped Asher get ready.
Is your mom anywhere around here? Because I need to do an interview with a mom.
What a creep.
And unfortunately, you're the only person here.
Why would he ask that question, though? He doesn't know. I mean, the guy could be a widower or something. They could have divorced.
Totally.
I mean, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It could have been.
That's my point.
Agreed. So let's continue.
We're letting her sleep in today.
So here's... Is that right, Mommy? Is Mommy's asleep?
Okay, so the baby might be one.
Yeah, he's not going to answer.
Maybe. And yep. Dave turns his attention and puts the microphone in front of the baby like he's going to have a conversation.
She's sleeping?
He's a little shy when it comes to other people for the first time.
We're shy, too, you know.
What does that mean, we're shy, too?
Does he know he's still on TV?
Yeah, that's my question. Like... There's no sense of time. No. There's no sense of, hey, I need to get to something quick.
Right.
Which in general is what you have to do. But he's taking his sweet time.
So here's the thing. Just look in the camera there. And we'll say that your wife is watching right now. What would you like to say?
Okay. Let me just say that he just told him that his wife was sleeping in.
Right.
So he told this guy that she's not watching TV right now.
And by the way, even after the dad said my wife's asleep, he then confirmed it with the 1-year-old.
Correct.
Ask if Bobby's asleep. Yes, now, it's already been established.
Now let's assume she's watching this broadcast. This is where he goes next.
To her. What's her name?
Her name is Jess. And I would say that I love you very much. You're the best mom that ever was. And we love you with all our hearts. And we're excited to spend time with you this weekend.
That's beautiful. By the way, I don't know if... Michael, check it out. Look down there. Can you guys see all the moms down there?
Okay, now...
How are you not done with this guy yet?
Done? I'm maybe halfway through.
Oh, my gosh.
So now, remember Mother's Day. He's pointing down at the beach.
Okay.
Where there are little seals coming up, and some of them, I'm sure, are mothers, which is the angle he takes.
Oh, he's pointing at
seals?
He's
pointing the camera down at the beach, and seals are swimming.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of moms down there.
That's right. We've been showing him that. Yeah, he's excited as well.
Absolutely. A lot of moms down there. Jason and Elizabeth, and of course... you have our seal of approval on Mom's Day today.
See what he did? Seal of approval.
Oh. Yeah, I do. Put him in the file.
Now, it's been 1:45. He hasn't talked to a mom yet.
Oh, no.
There's a mom right out there with her child. And today, there's a couple of little babies in the surf there. Look at the little one just ahead of them.
All right. Now, I want you to listen to the timing of this because, again, I don't think he even realizes he's on TV anymore because he's just filibustering at this point. Listen to how... Interested he is in continuing the report.
There, look at the little one just ahead of him. Kind of rolling up there towards the seagulls. It is so beautiful. There they come, right onto the beach. And what a beautiful place. Of course, children's pool. It's where you'll find moms out here. In fact, they're out here. And we're going to enjoy the weather today, too. It is so beautiful. We got a nice little breeze. Waves look pretty good out there, right?
Now he's doing weather and waves.
Oh, wow.
And it's been 2:20, and there's no moms. Not one.
No
moms.
No. At least there was dead silence on the newscast.
Why haven't they suddenly lost the signal?
I don't know.
Like, back at the station. Oh, too bad. We had Dave, but we lost him.
Honestly,
sorry, we got to move on.
After watching a bunch of his reports, I sort of feel like they just want him to take up time.
Yeah.
Because they got nothing.
Right.
Yep.
So let's throw it out to Dave Scott and just let him riff.
Right.
And they don't realize how much death that is. So then they continue.
Yeah, Dave Scott is looking for moms so he can say good morning and thank you and happy Mother's Day and all that. How is the pedestrian foot traffic looking, Dave, at the intersection of Klein and Fay now?
Okay, so they've sent him to an intersection.
A little busier, sure.
To try and find a mom.
Yes, mm-hmm. Any woman in San Diego at this point.
To say hi to and thank you for Mother's Day.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we are. And I'll tell you what, Jason, you were absolutely right. It's really picked up around here.
Now, let me just ask you guys, do you think it's really picked up around there?
Compared to the SEALs, maybe?
There's like two cars pulling away, and there's one couple that's walking away from him that wants to have nothing to do with him.
Just all the traffic. But there's a family coming down the street on that side, and then come with... Here we go. Wonderful Will and I, we're going to walk across the street.
Okay, now he's walking across the street in hopes that he'll see a mom on the other side of the street.
Okay.
And he sees a restaurant that he's never seen before. Jackpot.
Look at this. It's called The Cottage. And I don't think I've seen... There's lots of moms out here. Good morning, you guys. There's a mom right there. And a dad.
What are you doing? You know you're on TV, right?
Squirrel.
This is the worst.
What are you doing?
Squirrel.
So now he stands outside of the restaurant instead of walking in where there's a little outside area. And he just talks to the whole group.
And it looks like there's... Good morning, moms. Happy Mother's Day. You guys are live on Good Morning San Diego. And
no one cares. No one's listening.
How about if we have a big happy Mother's Day on the count of three? Are you guys ready?
Oh, not another count of three.
Right?
Not another count of three.
Isn't he out there trying to find a mom to say thank you? Now he's making them say thank you to mom. He's making the moms say happy Mother's Day. It makes no sense.
Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
Happy Mother's Day.
Look at that. Look, isn't that beautiful, you guys? And we're going to have more coming up in just a little while. Oh, but everybody is enjoying the day.
Can't wait for more.
And where would we be without mom? In fact, take a look at this.
Okay, now he's showing you a sign.
We have to be done.
Come on over here. We're just going to leave you with the sign of the day.
It says, Happy Mother's Day. And the special is some kind of lobster frittata or something. So now he's focusing in only on the sign outside the restaurant.
Wow,
still,
ending.
He hasn't done a one-on-one with a mom in this entire time.
Not one.
There it is.
Wow.
Today's special for mom, lobster frittata.
Whoa, that sounds delicious.
I think I know I'm going to get mom to eat when we're done here.
So the anchors are just as bad as he is.
God, my gosh.
I need to watch this full time. That is just... Fantastic.
So intense. I'm like really nervous listening to that.
He's totally just filibustering. They're just like, look, we got nothing. Keep going.
Oh,
walk across the street. See if you can find someone.
He does not feel the heat of time or live TV, does he? So what time are they turning the internet off? I mean, when do we get to use it for the last time before they pull the plug?
Talking about net neutrality?
Yeah, my understanding was as of yesterday, there's no more internet, right?
No, I don't think
But mine's still working.
They're not unplugging it.
Really?
That's why we have an expert on that's going to tell us in about 15 minutes what it all means.
I feel like it's bad news. I feel like this end of net neutrality is not what we want.
Depends on who you listen to. The FCC is very happy with it.
I guess we'll find out. First, though, you guys, how about a new round of Kevin and Bean's Animal Stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
I asked Omar to put as many animals in the intro as he could, and I think he did a pretty good job.
I hope you don't have any more awful sounding animals today.
It's interesting you should ask that question because there is one coming up. There's a sound you will never get out of your head.
Let's not do that.
Coming up. But first, I want to start with one of the most terrifying things I have ever heard of.
We go to the news in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Jennifer Sutcliffe and her husband were doing weekend yard work when she spotted a four-foot rattlesnake. Sutcliffe says her husband quickly took a shovel and severed the head of the reptile.
Okay, so you see a big old rattlesnake, you use a shovel, mm-hmm. which, by the way, I've done many times when I lived in California. We had a lot of rattlesnakes where I lived in Santa Clarita, and that's what you do is you chop their heads off, mission accomplished, right?
You don't name them and release them back into the wild?
What can go wrong once you've taken the head off a rattlesnake, you're asking?
Moments later, he bent down to dispose of the snake, and that's when the snake head bit him.
No!
Yes. What?
No!
Yeah, that's a thing.
No, it's not
it
a
is.
Thing.
It is a thing.
Is it a thing, Kevin?
Yeah, it is. It's a thing.
He chopped the snake's head off, yep. and the snake's head bit him.
How long can it survive?
I don't know the answer to that, but imagine his surprise.
Imagine his surprise, because he thought, easy peasy, I'm done, right? Let's find out what happened.
Which, in that case, because there's no body, it released all its venom into him at that point, so he had a lot of venom.
Now, explain that to me. I don't understand it. How come there's more venom coming out of just the severed independent snake head than there would be if the snake were still
alive? I don't know, but it sounds like maybe they store it someplace else in the body.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But once you cut off the head, I don't know how it all goes into the head. This is a weird story.
It's a very weird story, and it was a very bad deal for this guy.
Sutcliffe called 911 and began driving her husband towards the hospital. Immediately, he began having seizures, lost his vision, and experienced internal bleeding. The first 24 hours were the worst. Doctors told her husband might not make it.
By the way, he's laying there, if he's conscious, he's laying there in the hospital bed going, I cut your head off! What does a guy have to do to win this battle with a rattlesnake?
I'm about to die! How am I cutting your head off?
How am I laying here in the hospital? You really did get the last laugh, snake.
Even after giving him huge amounts of anti-venom.
A normal person that gets bit is going to get from anywhere from 2 to 4 doses of anti-venom.
How many doses of anti-venom do you suppose this guy got after getting bit by a rattlesnake head?
Well, he said
normal
average
person
is 2 to 4.
What? 2 to 4, right?
I would say 10.
Yeah, at least.
Let's go 20. He had to have 26 doses.
Oh,
Sutcliffe's
wow.
husband is now in stable condition, but his kidney function is still poor. Trauma surgeon Michael Halpert says although dying from a snake bite is rare, it happens.
How many snake bites do you think there are in the United States every year?
Snake bites that result in death or just snake bites?
Okay. Either one. Both. He gives both statistics there. Okay. I was surprised.
Wow, I don't know.
There's about 6,000 to 8,000 snake bites per year in the country, and 10 or 12 people die.
So there's a very low chance of you dying from a snake bite. And by the way, this guy did survive. He did recover from this snake bite. But 6,000 to 8,000 a year?
Yikes.
I was surprised by that many.
Do you think he woke up this morning and said, I cut off his head?
Oh, I'm sure he'll never stop saying, I cut off. There's no reason I should have ended up in the hospital like that. Here's a dog story on this edition of Animal Stories. I guess this probably happens all the time, but I didn't know about it. In cases of divorce, almost every state in the union, I think every state but Alaska and Illinois, consider pets as property. So they just treat it the same way they would treat who gets the Instapot, okay?
That's weird.
But a lot of times, obviously, it is a huge bone of contention between a couple that is divorcing because both of them are going to want the dog or the cat. They both want the pets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, both of them want the dog.
Or they want to work out some sort of a visitation or something like that. I just thought this was so interesting. Molly Rosenblum, a Las Vegas family law attorney, says she's seen it all. Her firm regularly handles cases in which divorcing couples cannot agree on who gets custody of the family pet. In one case, an exasperated judge ordered the court marshal to take the dog in question to a nearby park and see which parent the pooch ran to.
What?
The divorcing humans were warned to not call the dog's name. They were not allowed to stuff their pockets with liver treats. In other words, it would be kind of like tampering with evidence or bribing a witness. And then the dog would run to whichever. The judge decided to let the dog decide who he wanted to live with. And the dog, in this case, ran for the wife. So the soon-to-be ex-husband got $500 in lieu of custody. And the wife got the dog.
Wow.
I mean, I guess
you got a weird way to settle it.
I guess you got to figure out some way to do it, right? A mother in Stockton, California says her 8-month-old pit bull is a hero pup for saving her and her baby's lives last week when a fire broke out in another unit of the fourplex. I love stories like this where pit bulls are revealed to be the sweet, loving animals they almost always are. Sasha, the puppy, and a 7-month-old little girl named Masayla live in Central California. They're as tight as can be. They're only a month apart. They sleep together. They play together. They're best friends.
Well, the little dog was left outside and started barking, going berserk and yelping and pounding on the back door. I open it, and she runs in, and she starts barking at me like crazy. And I'm like, okay, this is not like her. As she got closer to the door, she saw that the house next door was on fire.
Wow.
I thought, oh, my God, I've got to get my baby out of the house. Sasha was way ahead of me. The dog rushed into the little girl's room and pulled her off the bed by her diaper to carry her out of the house.
What?
Oh,
the seven-month-old puppy saw there was a fire next door and said, I've got to get this kid out of the house. And that is what she did.
That's unbelievable. Oh, wow.
That is a hero dog.
And the
right
dog
there.
Must have been thinking, is really the diapers the only thing I can grab a hold of here?
I think the dog was just had its natural instincts to try to save everybody.
Wow, that's amazing.
I just love that story. All right, and one more. This is the noise you'll never get out of your head, you guys.
I feel like that was a good segment, and it was happy, ended with a dog saving a kid.
And on a high note.
Right?
A saltwater crocodile has eaten a dog that made a mockery of it for years to the horror of onlookers. This is a place called Goat Island Lodge in Australia, south of Darwin. It's in the middle of the crocodile-infested Adelaide River. Guests had gathered to watch little pup Pippa perform her favorite trick. Now, what Pippa did is Pippa runs back and forth to the river and mocks Casey the crocodile. In other words, the crocodile's out laying on the bank, and Pippa runs out and gets real close and then turns around and runs away. And Pippa had been doing this trick for visitors for 10 years.
Pippa had it coming.
Yeah, Pippa's time ran out.
Carrie Hansen, Pippa's owner, said, well, Casey did what crocs do. I guess it was something that had a high probability of happening sometime. Some on social media were quick to blame the dog's owner, saying he was to blame for encouraging the little dog to run up to the reptile, but he said it was simply part of the dog's nature. He said, it's just like a dog I used to have when I was a kid that would not stop chasing cars. Pippa just loved tormenting Casey the alligator. A little terrier should not do things like that, but should I stop her? I don't know. She got away with it for 10 years, he said. And I'm
should
just
I
glad
stop
that...
her? Yes. She died.
He said he would get a new dog, by the way. He would definitely ensure that it did not chase crocodiles.
I guess what is the noise going to be?
I guess I'm just glad there's no video of little Pippa heading out for the crocodile.
Why are you...
And that's this week's Animal Stories.
Oh, my God.
All those people are so upset.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
That is completely over, right? Am I right?
That one is not coming back.
106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 7 o'clock.
All right, ahead of our guest, we were just talking about a guy in San Antonio who found a rattlesnake in his yard, took a shovel, cut the rattlesnake's head off, reached down to pick it up to throw it away, and got bit, ended up in the hospital, very nearly died. So the rattlesnake's severed head bit him. This is Richie from Irvine. A living adult rattler will conserve its venom per strike, where a snake head that was cut off first is still able to bite for a couple of hours. And when the head bites down, it's a muscle spasm, and it releases all the venom at once.
Why for a couple of hours?
Why is it able to still bite for a couple of hours?
How is it not unable to do anything when its head is cut off?
Like the rest of us, right?
Yes!
They're devil creatures, that's why.
That's crazy.
Having about 15 years' experience catching rattlers, I've always been told to bury the heads at least a foot in the ground to keep animals and people from accidentally getting bit.
What?
Right, I am no longer getting a rattlesnake as a pet. This does not sound like a good... I don't like any of this.
Allie's out sick today, so Brad Williams is filling in.
Kevin and Brad show. That's right. You know by the amount of phone books on this seat that Allie is not here and that it is me.
I do have maybe the most Florida story of all Florida stories.
That's saying something. I thought the bath salt story would be the most Florida story.
I mean, that
of
was pretty good, too.
It's pretty solid.
But I did get a tweet, I think over the weekend, a lot of people were weighing in on what a great story this is. It happens in DeLand, Florida, which I've never heard of, D-E-L-A-N-D.
DeLand, okay.
And it involves two guys, and they burglarize a house. Now, it turns out that all three of them at some point were having –
an affair with each other, all three of them.
Oh.
So two of them must have felt jilted by the third.
Okay.
And they decided to break into his house. And this is what happened.
Two guys are facing charges after Volusia County deputies say they tried to pull off quite the bizarre burglary plot. They ended up taking several items from a DeLand home. And as News 6's Lauren Korn found out, the suspects tried to start a fire with spaghetti sauce in an attempt to cover their tracks.
So,
wait. Now, so, I was a Cub Scout.
Right.
I took a course on how to make fire.
Right.
Never did they say crack open a can of Chef Boyardee.
You just toss a match in and it just goes and explodes?
That was never a thing.
How is that part of any story?
It's only good if someone ended it by going, now that's a spicy meatball.
Nope, that did not happen. Here's the story.
An ex-lover's revenge foiled thanks to this 10-second clip.
Okay, now what happens is this guy has a camera inside his, and I got to tell you, it's just a trailer.
You know,
I was surprised.
He's got to protect his meth.
I was very surprised that he had a camera, but it has a camera with a motion sensor.
Okay.
And the first thing that he sees, he gets an alert on his phone, and he sees a towel get put over the camera. So he's like, okay, someone's in my place.
Sure.
Clip.
Wait, did you see anybody?
No, I can't see nobody. All I can see is the towel being put over the camera.
Okay. Now, this guy doesn't want to be identified, so what they do when talking to him, and I don't know why this is the choice, usually they'll put, you know, he'll put him in darkness or something, so or they'll obscure his face.
Sure.
They have just a shot of his shoes. Just his shoes.
On the news they have this?
Yes. And it looks like he's sitting on the toilet. I can't verify that, but it's just a close-up of his shoes. So every time the guy's talking, close-up of the shoes.
Love it.
Deputies catching these two men red-handed, accused of burglarizing the victim's home and trying to burn it down.
I got an alert at 6:54. I called DeLand Police, and they was here in no time.
The man who declined to reveal his identity was at work Tuesday morning when it happened. Deputies say ex-boyfriend 36-year-old Derek Irving disguised in a bull costume onesie.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Whoa. All right, now.
Whoa.
All right.
Whoa.
So one of the guys was disguised in a bull costume onesie.
Okay.
So I was very curious about this, and I looked it up yesterday. Bull costume onesie.
Yeah, thinking, which I hope they're playing Coachella.
Thinking, well, how hard must that have been to find?
Yeah.
There are 25 options to buy one.
Man.
There's a lot of bull onesies out there. It's crazy. I can't even say it.
Deputies say ex-boyfriend 36-year-old Derek Irving disguised in a bull costume onesie and 28-year-old John Silva removed the AC unit to get inside.
I like that one guy's in a bull onesie and the other guy doesn't even have a costume.
Yeah.
He doesn't even care.
No. And I love that they removed the AC unit like a trailer is hard to break into. You guys go like full Ocean's 11. That doesn't need to happen with Bubba Ray's trailer.
I'm assuming they thought they had all kinds of time.
The duo deputies say stole the man's TV, AC unit, heater, and a vacuum.
They took the AC with them.
Well, you broke it off to get in.
Might as well take it with you.
Before boiling a pot of spaghetti sauce and taking a white towel to the stove.
Well, he was trying to make it look like that I'd left the stove on, but who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes spaghetti?
Right?
Fixes what?
Who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes spaghetti?
Sketty.
Is this... Honey Boo Boo's lost?
Right?
Lost dad?
Who gets up in the middle of the night and fixes sketty? Who calls it sketty?
I guess if you live in Florida, you do.
Sketty.
Deputy stopped the two in the driveway where they found the man's items and an empty jar of spaghetti sauce. Silva claiming he had no idea Irving was stealing from the home.
I didn't know. Look, there's an AC unit and a television and an empty jar of spaghetti in my car.
Excuse me, Kevin. Kevin.
I had no
idea. Sketty.
Sketty. Sorry.
Sketty.
I had no idea anything was being stolen. All that stuff's in my car, yes, but I didn't know.
I didn't know. I mean, it's Florida. That's just what people have in their cars.
It started out as a relationship that lasted about a week.
The victim says they had a fallout, but the two remain friends and doesn't know why Irving is so angry.
Okay, now you can sort of tell the anger of the homeowner who's been ripped off by the guy because he's offering some ideas why they might be angry at him, and they're not that at all. Okay. He's saying, I helped them. Why would they do that to me?
Let him use my car for 4 months. Maybe he's angry about that. Or maybe he's angry because I gave him $150 to fix his teeth. Maybe he's angry about that.
Wait. $150 to fix his teeth. Now, I'm no expert.
Same. How far does that go?
That's half a tooth? That, like, you get wood teeth like George Washington?
I don't know. Again, a picture of shoes while that guy's talking the entire time during this story. This whole story has everything.
Everything that makes a Florida story a Florida story?
Yes.
It's in here.
This is the perfect Florida story.
The pair appeared in court today, Irving being held without bond for violating probation. Silva is being held on $25,500 bond.
Thank God for this camera.
Into Land, Lauren Korn, News 6.
Please tell me the guy took his mugshot in the bull onesie.
He did not. I don't believe they would have allowed that, but that would have been awesome.
He's going to be kicked out of the furry convention for that kind of behavior.
Come on, Allie, let's get Sam back on the phone. What do you think?
I feel like we've got Bob here.
He's so good.
Hey, Bob Saget.
Hey, Bean.
That's the kind of talent you should be aspiring to in your career.
Yeah.
What the Armenian comedians got going on.
It's 30 seconds of dead air listening to yourself on the radio. And then they're yelling at him. I'm in the office outside while you guys are talking to him, and he's not listening. And then it's just... I don't know what song that was. It was supposed to be
Africa, but apparently he didn't know either.
It was Toto, but the dog.
Right, exactly. Well, Bob Saget, how you been?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for filling in for me, essentially, at the Weenie Roast this summer when Kevin would go out on stage and do his on-stage announcements when you were bringing on...
Blink-182!
I wasn't there, but you played me, and I appreciate that very much. Did you have a good time that night?
I actually did. I had a little bit of beer. I was with my fiance. Say Kelly and Allie, and I was with Kevin. We hung out quite a bit because, you know, we're boyfriends. And Allie, I don't know if you've talked about it, I know, on the air, mm-hmm. but you were 19 sheets to the wind. You were.
Oh, you're being nice.
I've never seen you like that.
Yeah.
But normally I see you in here.
Sure.
But you were aggressively drunk.
Here's the thing, and we've discussed this. I had said to Kevin, hey, I've had a couple drinks. You don't need me for the Blink 182 interview. And in Kevin's head, he's like, oh, no, I definitely do now. And I said, okay, then I'll stop drinking. And he goes, nope, I think you do the opposite. I'm like, all right, cool. I said to Bob when he came in, I said, oh, we'll have to play a little bit of the Blink 182 interview. And your response to that was what?
Well, I was there.
You were in the room,
and I had no recollection. And it was pretty upsetting. It was that wonderful band, and I should be educated right now. The wonderful kid from Stranger Things and his band. Do you know the name?
Oh, Dustin. Yes,
he's such a lovely young guy,
mm-hmm.
and an example, and really good band. Actually, I've been listening to them.
Oh wow,
they're a lot better than what you had on before I came on just now. they don't wait 30 seconds, but.
You were in the room when she was trying to interview Blink 182.
Yeah, we were taking pictures, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. I was in the lineup. You did not know I was there. We talked after it, and you were just going to my fiance. And girl, you just better. I don't know what you were doing.
Wow.
You might have been. I don't know. Girls' trip. You were in another. I'm just glad you weren't hanging from something that you could do some kind of that big urination. Scene.
Right. Yes, I'm glad exactly. There were no grapefruits around.
Right.
Right.
You so right.
Let me play the question though, because I mean the whole interview was great, but here's the question we most enjoyed. Mm-hmm. We think Allie was trying to ask Blink 182 something.
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the Weenie Roast, and we're like. Goddamn Weenie Roast. Mm-hmm. You guys are Blink 182. What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us, oh, I guess bands really rehearse for different festivals and different situations, which we just thought, okay, you do the same old thing every time.
Now, there was no question there, right,
Bob?
There was no question, and she was mesmerized that bands rehearse. That Blink 182 had to do a festival in front of a huge audience.
Yeah,
And you're like, basically saying, it was kind of like, God bless Chris Farley when he would interview, you know, Paul McCartney.
Right.
Remember when you were in the Beatles? Remember that? And
that
then Paul
awesome.
Would go, yeah. And he'd go, yeah.
Right.
And then he'd go, I'm so stupid. Why did I ask that? You left off the I'm so stupid part.
I mean, it's inferred. But here's the thing, Bob. You are good friends with Kevin. You've hung out with him.
I'm in love with him. One day he's going to wear pants. I think he's going to do it.
One day. But what we did was we took my question and then one of Kevin's questions that made no sense years ago about UFOs, a terrorist situation, and we mashed them, and we soon realized we're the same person when we drink.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is.
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the weenie roast, and we're like,
It must be, you know, infallible word of God.
You guys are Blink 182.
Or, you know, and terrorists.
What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us,
you know, situations or UFOs.
Oh, I guess bands really rehearse for different festivals and different...
It's unidentified.
...situations, which we just thought, okay, you do...
It must be alien. You go, no.
The same old thing every time.
It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
And I think the message to the kids out there is don't grow up like this.
Amen.
But it was interesting. There is no... And, and Kevin really stumbled. You could hear the slur there.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't drunk, by the way. Ali,
yeah,
that
was,
you
that
feel
was
any
on
better.
The air. By
that
the
was
way.
Actually
yeah.
on the radio.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, that was
just
morning tired.
Yes.
Bob Saget is here. He's got a bunch of shows coming up in Southern California this summer, including Friday and Saturday, July 13th and 14th. You're going to be at the Irvine Improv. Tickets are on sale at improv.com. And then you're going out to Oxnard Levity in August. Tickets on sale at the same OxnardLevityLive.com. You're working out new material this summer, Bob?
Yeah, I've got to do it. And you can't, you really can't go into theaters because I had a big theater tour by six months ago. And you just can't, people are paying hard ticket prices. And you can't just riff and get your mind together and what subjects you want to talk about. And it's so hard right now to find things that are funny that aren't going to offend people in the audience that have different points of view. So I'm trying to just do the humane comedic tour, which means I'll probably be talking about my wiener quite a bit. But,
excellent.
It's
but,
so funny you should say that because, you know, we always talk about how this is the golden age of Netflix comedy. I mean, it used to be that there were comedy specials everywhere. Now Netflix buys them all,
yes.
Which is great for us, the viewer. But you're so right that Trump seeps into everything.
Yeah.
Like, I just watched the Jim Jefferies special this week. There's a bunch of Trump. Kamau Bell's special. There's a bunch of Trump in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on everybody's mind.
Well, the last one I did, and you guys are so kind to help me promote it, was 0 to 60, which did really well on Amazon Prime. And then, of course, it goes everywhere, iTunes and all those places. But that thing was kind of evergreen. I just wanted to talk about relationships and about life and about how we should treat each other. And then once you get sincere, for me, the longer I've done this, which is like 40 years, oh, my grandmother, I'm 110, but I'm a zombie. But the longer you do it, you want it to be able to be where you turn on HBO or Netflix or wherever you're getting your special, and you can watch it anytime, and it hasn't passed.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. Yeah, because you want to see something the minute it's happening when it's something severe, you know, if we go through something gigantic. But there's so many heinous things happening right now. I just want to not take people's minds off of it, but just take them down a different path. And, you know, I've been a crowd pleaser, as you know, from that 5-minute fill of Blink 182, that intro where I could have been drunk, but I wasn't. Where Kevin and I had to do that. But I love riffing, and riffing doesn't always include bashing or being angry at the news. And it's not the news. It's being angry at what's happening to humanity and how we have a fuse on anger that's been lit that I just love. And these are big rooms. So that they're local rooms, the Irvine Improv and the Oxnard Levity, and they're 500-seat rooms. So you're kind of doing a show. You are doing. I am doing a show. I've got to entertain the people. Mm-hmm. That's what they deserve. But it's just a lot better than what I'm saying right now. Because, see, this is the same.
Well, you're not selling tickets. pants right now, I'll tell you that.
No, this is... Okay, let me talk about what happens when you accidentally sit on your wiener in the toilet.
Bob Saget at the Irvine Improv, July 13 and 14, Oxnard Levity Live, August 10th and 11th. Quick break, more with Bob right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Bob Saget in studio with us right now. Don't forget, you can request any song you like that you've ever heard on K-Rock just after 9 a.m. as we keep it 100. What's your all-time favorite K-Rock song, Bob? Do you have one?
Right before I came on, you guys played it.
That was Africa by the Armenian Comedian, sure.
Yeah.
And we'll qualify you for another chance to go to Lollapalooza in Chicago, also happening at 9 a.m. By the way...
I think you did play it earlier, the Nirvana song that you played right before. Well,
and it's your favorite. You love Nirvana.
I do love a lot.
Did you ever meet Kurt?
No, I did not.
Because you meet all the famous people.
I do know people, but I think it was best to stay away from him so he could at least live longer.
Do you get starstruck, Bob? As big a star as you are and as many famous people as you know,
really nice. Can I have a recording of that?
No, but I'm serious because, you know, we talked to, like, Dave Grohl. Speaking of Nirvana, we talked to, like, Dave Grohl, and he'll never get over being starstruck about being friends with Paul McCartney, for instance, because
no
matter who you are, he's still Paul McCartney. Yeah. Are there people that you encounter in your life that you just can't believe you know because you love them so much or idolize them so much?
There are a few people. I mean, Norman Lear, who's 95, who's going to be 96 soon, is the guy that started All in the Family and all the shows that we loved for 10 years. And he's just a genius, and he's one of the kindest, smartest people I know. So I just love my friendship with him. And yesterday, I've been working for Kevin Bright on this documentary as a director, producer for Martin Mull, who I always loved, who a lot of listeners might not know. But the reason I do comedy music in my shows is because I was 17 and saw Martin Mull. And so I've been hanging out with Martin, who I just...
That's awesome.
I love him. And then Steve Martin came over and interviewed him, and they jammed together yesterday. So I was interviewing Steve Martin, who is one of my idols. I mean, you know, he's kind of a Mount Rushmore of comedy.
Have you seen his special with Marty Short?
It was hilarious.
Wasn't it one of the funniest things you've ever seen?
It was pure entertainment. It was pure friendship. And that is exactly what I aspire to do and enjoy doing, which is bring people together with just entertaining them. And everybody in that room, no matter what you believe in, you're having a blast. And Marty, of course, is the upstaging king. You know, he's coming out. He's all over the place. He's so funny.
I can't believe those guys are in their mid-60s, by the way, and I feel like they're doing the best work of their lives right now.
Yeah, I think they might even be an inch older, which makes me feel better because I'm 62.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, an Eric Idle I got to hang out with and who's I've become friends with. And I'm a huge Eric Idle fan, but I'm a huge Python fan. And it's just, you know, that is one of the nice things. When they're good people, when someone says to me, you know, it always used to be people go, that person, are they nice? And it's like, I don't care if they're nice. Are they talented? But now we're in a world now where you really do want to know if somebody's nice.
Amen.
You know, did they touch around your lower parts or not?
How can you help Ali meet Mel Brooks? That's all she wants in the world.
I want to have soup and watch Jeopardy and just hang out with Mel Brooks.
He doesn't want soup. He's going to make a grab. You better start drinking now. He is he's a feisty devil.
Really?
He is hilarious, and if you watch every one of his movies, there's a big busted lady in all of his historic films.
Right.
No, he is a very sexual man, and he didn't touch me because I wasn't.
Ali, are you up for it?
I mean, I'll take one for the team.
Well,
yeah.
Obviously, you were interviewing Blink, didn't know I was there. You're going to let Mel Brooks have his way.
Do you know Mel Brooks, Bob?
Yes, I do. I met him through Norman Lear, but I had met him years ago. I was on Broadway on a show, and he said, do you want to be in Young Frankenstein? I said, Mel, I can't dance. I'll die. And he goes, sit down. And I spent 4 hours with him in a wonderful place near Broadway. And he actually came up to me at Norman Lear's movie premiere called Just Another Version of You, which I recommend everybody to see. It's about just being we're all the same, basically. It's a human kind of thing. And Mel Brooks grabs me by the head and goes, I'm the only one that likes you. And he's adorable.
If you ever get the opportunity in any way to get Ali in a room with Mel Brooks,
please keep her in mind. So
well, I'm going to play the Blink interview, and he'll go.
That'll do it.
That girl will do anything I want.
Speaking of comedy legends, and you just named a whole mouthful of them there. You were at a premiere this week of the new Robin Williams documentary.
Yeah, two nights ago.
Guys, for folks who don't know, were very close.
I wouldn't. When I see Billy Crystal's relationship, I wasn't very close, but I was close with him, and not to contradict or be a bitch boy, but. Billy and he had a friendship, because to keep up with Robin and to be that close with him, Billy was the one. And Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah,
and
Rick, Bobcat, yeah.
Yeah, and he was in a movie recently. It was last movie, I believe, is Bobcat's, who has a premiere next week. And it was just gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching, sad, all the stuff that came upon Robin's life and led to his demise, but you couldn't help but watch, wow, what a meteor. What a good person. My closeness with him was being 21 years old at the Comedy Store, and he came over to me and he was just like, whoa, you're really fast. Oh, your mother's going to be your father's pokey. And I had an esoteric act. My act meant nothing. I live in a moped, you know, things like that. And he would go, oh, that's funny. That's funny. And then I would hang out with him. And then all of a sudden I was hanging out with him and Richard Pryor, and Sim Kennison came to town, and I was in my early 20s, and I would spend time alone with him. Sometimes we'd be at a Comedy Store or the Improv, and we'd be in a back room. And he was also, I always do, as you know, these Scleroderma Research Foundation benefits, because I lost a sister to it. And Robin did the very first benefit and then did 7 more after that.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
He did it over a 25-year period. And he would always just show up. What do you need, Chief? What can I do? Mm. And then you think about him as a person, and we would always play. It's always 9-year-olds playing. And that's what he and Billy really, really had the closest relationship that I could say. But then when I was watching some clip on the news, or wasn't the news, it was like E-Channel, the news.
That's the news for Bob, though.
I was watching news on the Viewmaster, and he and Robin, I just saw all these pictures of every 10 years or every 5 years, another picture of me and Robin, and then all the fun times that came with that, and how playful he was, and yet what a talented actor, and how unfortunate, and how many people lost such a great man.
Did you ever know about any of the sadness that was going on in his life?
Well, I knew he told everybody, if you were listening, make the voices stop, you know. Mm-hmm. He was had a mind that had so much in it, that had a capacity for a voracious appetite for all information, all things comedy, anything referenced. He was like a satellite dish, you know, and yet he was using his entire facility. He was able to spout it out and be hilarious at times. And the brilliance was often the quickness, how he would go into just a character and all of a sudden he's, you know, an Irish, you know, leprechaun. And then 2 seconds later.
It was dizzying to watch him as a talk show guest, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I'd been on stage with him a couple of times. Try that. You know, it was a miracle. You know, he's upstaging no matter what, he's going to get focused. I mean, he's Robin. And then he would always apologize. I'm stinking, aren't I? And I went, no, you've got some hair on you. Well, I try shaving and it doesn't work, you know. but he was a love, and we all love him. I mean, mm-hmm. The coolest thing that I'll always remember, and it's not a personal thing, it's what everybody else shares, is during 9/11, all the stations ran the footage all the time, kind of like how we're living in the news now. Yeah. That's all you could find. And Fox Television, not news. I don't know if there was Fox News then. It was quite a gentler time. 9/11. So, sorry, I'm a comedian. What am I going to do? That's how I deal with it. So, but they ran Mrs. Doubtfire. Channel 11 here in L.A. ran Mrs. Doubtfire, and I just sucked it up. Yeah. And I've never appreciated drive-by fruiting more. And I just went, this is what comedians are supposed to do. This is what comedic actors do that is a huge service.
Heal us during hard times.
Yeah. It really...
That's a beautiful tribute.
And I didn't even want... Exactly. Not that I'm giving one, but that they put him on during that catastrophe. And that's why I can't get away from comedy right now. I was like, okay, I'm directing now. I'm doing a new show thing. I'm working on stuff. I got to do some stand-up. And I'm talking to, not to name drop, but Steve Martin. Hold on, I have an anvil I'm going to drop on the ground. But he's out with Marty, and they're going on tour right now because the Netflix thing was such a hit. And then you wonder, hey, what do I do? Do I do my material from the special? And people want it. Half the people want some new stuff, which they'll do because they're both geniuses. Mm-hmm. But then it's going to be so eaten up because you get to – bring people out. I was talking to Norman Lear about it. Name drop. Anything else? Do you have a drop sound? Do you have any kind of dropping?
Seriously. So I'm on the phone with Bruce Springsteen, and I say it's that kind of thing. I
actually did go see him backstage.
Okay. Of course, anyway, you did, Bob.
But it was just for my daughters, and because I worship him. But what happened?
All right.
Well, anyway, the point of it is, I said to Norman Lear, it's amazing to be able to entertain people and take them out of their lives. And he, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, said, "Nah, you're actually bringing them into their lives. You're having a collective experience with thousands of people, and they're all having this human shared experience that is, they're all laughing together, and they could all have different beliefs. So you're bringing them into. You're not giving them a distraction from the world. You're celebrating together." Yourself.
Just got deep in here. Wow.
Yeah. I heard that once from a woman and we broke up.
Okay.
What?
Hey, Bob,
what?
You're very chatty today.
I apologize.
And I love that. Don't apologize. We're happy to have you. Will you stick around?
Oh, please don't make me leave.
Okay. More with Bob plus What's Happening and Keep It 100 coming up next on K-Rock.
DJ Omar Khan came in after the weekend and was just blabbing about how he had the weirdest weekend ever.
Weirdest weekend ever.
What happened?
So with this job, we don't get much sleep.
Right.
So on Fridays, I usually, go to sleep around 10 and I get a good 8 hours. But I was working on a project and it ran late, so didn't get to bed till about 2 a.m., and recently I've been having problems sleeping, so I probably got maybe 3 hours total.
Yes.
Had to get up early to take my daughter to her softball tryouts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And then after that, I had to meet with some clients to work out logistics for a wedding that I was doing, and after that, I had to take a chainsaw over to one of my rentals.
Same.
And I forgot my eye protective wear.
Okay.
So I'm sleep deprived. I'm working with a chainsaw.
Not good, right? No.
Not good. So I take the tree down and I actually get a piece of debris in my eye.
Oh no.
Okay.
And so my eye's bugging me but I've had this before where it's just a little blurriness and it usually will come out.
How many pieces of tree do you get in your eye? How often does that happen?
A couple of times.
Maybe you should take a look at that little
closer. Maybe.
Okay.
But I have to get home at 2 because the wifey is going to a birthday party and it's an overnight thing.
Okay.
So my wife tells the kids that daddy's going to take you to this it's like an indoor funhouse playhouse thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So I get home at 2 and I shower to try to get, re-energize, Red Bull it up. And I go to this place in Rancho Cucamonga. I live in the 909.
Right.
Okay. It's in Rancho Cucamonga, about 10 minutes away from my house. And this is my version of hell. Okay. Just
it's like
screaming.
Chuck E. Cheese with
it's like
Chuck
E. Cheese bouncy houses. We have a huge ball pit, a jungle gym, slides, swings. I mean, just screaming kids everywhere.
It sounds like flu and cold central.
Ooh. Right, totally. Okay. And as I walk in, and the attendant tells me, you can't use the ball pit because a kid pooped in there.
Oh, no.
Okay?
That's
all
when
right.
you turn around and leave.
No, that's what Omar says.
No.
I
want
to go to the ball pit if I know Omar.
So my kids are already, they've been this. This is my first time. My kids have already been to this place. So their shoes are already off. You have to take your shoes off. Mm-hmm. And they go, and they can't ditch me fast enough.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
So they're out there, and I see all the parents, and I'm a guy who can't really waste a lot of time on my phone. And I look around, and everybody's just on the, all the parents, they're just on their phone.
Right.
And their kids are playing. And I don't do that. So I start people watching. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around and looking around, and I'm sleep deprived, and I have one bad eye.
Yeah.
Okay? So I see a guy over there, and he's playing where, the toddler sections is, and it looks like Tom Hanks. Okay?
But you think, I got a tree in my eye. There's no way that's Tom Hanks.
And it's the 909, uh-huh. and it's at this funhouse place, right?
Right.
There's no way this is Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
It's a pretty janky place for American treasure Tom Hanks to be hanging
out. And Tom Hanks probably one of the biggest stars in the world.
If he was going to go there, I would assume he would just buy it out for his own
right
use
yeah.
to not have to deal with a-holes like you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm like, and then I'm like looking around trying to figure out, like, nobody's thinking this is Tom Hanks, so I'm clearly wrong.
Right.
This is not Tom Hanks.
Yeah, because if it is Tom Hanks, there's going to be a big crowd of people around and people taking pictures
or people kind of looking like, what's happening?
Something.
Right?
Yeah.
So
right.
I go check on my kids and my kids are
the one thing
fine.
I know at this point is it's not going to end up being Tom Hanks.
Yeah. So my kids are fine and, you know, they don't want anything to do with me. They're having a great time. So I'm like, God, this guy really looks Tom Hanks. I'm going crazy. Like, at this point, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go by Tom Hanks and pretend that I'm looking at these toddler kids. So I'm being Mr. Creep Guy.
By the way, just let me butt in. This happens to Tom Hanks every day, I assume. Yeah. All these people that think they're on the down low, he knows exactly what you're doing. You're standing around waiting to see if it's him.
So I'm standing next to this guy, like, you know, just shoulder to shoulder, because I want to hear his voice.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds like Tom Hanks.
Right.
So it's even blowing my mind even more. I'm like, this guy looks like Tom Hanks, but he's wearing a hat, so you can't really see his hair.
Okay.
And he sounds like Tom Hanks, but nobody is reacting like me. You know, it's like I have one of the bosom buddies here.
Sure.
Like, are you kidding me?
I don't think anyone else would say that, but
I mean, that is probably what he's best known for.
Sure.
So then I kind of walk away and do the Tom.
No, you did.
And he no reaction. So clearly,
so you
not
were just
Tom
trying
Hanks.
To get him to turn in recognition of his name.
Yeah. I had nothing but time, guys.
Oh,
okay, because you know what I mean.
Poor
so I'm like,
Tom Hanks.
I'm gonna find out if this is Tom Hanks or not.
So you yelled, "Tom!" He didn't turn.
Like, Tom! didn't turn. Turn around. I'm like, okay, fine.
Now and Omar's then, going Philadelphia.
Horoscope. Okay, so then I go sit down on my bench and I hop on my phone and I still see him. I'm like, man. That really, really, really looks like Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
What does it take for you to just say hi if you're going to say hi?
Well, I don't know.
If you're going to.
Well, okay. So then he gets his party gets a little room. Mm-hmm. And these little rooms where they serve food and cake for the birthday party he's there for has a little window.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm kind of like, you know, just doing a walk.
Creeping in the window.
I made the mistake. My bad eye was the first one. I was like, oh, man, my bad eye. I can't really see. So I walked the other way.
Nope.
And then I see this guy who looks like Tom Hanks eating pizza. Right.
And the guy that looks like Tom Hanks has to be thinking, what is wrong with this guy walking back and forth in front of the window?
Yeah. And by the way, he says to his friends, am I wrong or does that dude look like Omar Khan?
So then I notice the lady he's with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think Tom Hanks is married to somebody famous.
Rita Wilson.
Yeah. So I look it up on my phone and all the pictures come up and, you know, Rita Wilson is, you know, has makeup. And it was like, oh, you know what? I don't think that's her. It's probably not Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
So then
you were standing shoulder to shoulder with him. You don't know at this point?
No, absolutely not. So then I'm standing there kind of like by the pool ball pit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, the poop pit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's not Tom Hanks, you know. Uh-huh. So then I go my way, and then I'm done with it. I'm like, it's not Tom Hanks. So then,
well, good story, Omar.
No, so
I wish it wasn't.
So then, his party gets let out, and the guy who I think is Tom Hanks is helping the people clean the poo ball pit. He's helping cleaning the poo balls.
He works there.
He was cleaning the poo balls, right?
Okay.
Tom doesn't have to do that.
So he's cleaning the poo balls for about 5 minutes. And then, I could see everything that's happening. I was like, oh, this is clearly not Tom Hanks. And then about 5 minutes after cleaning poo balls,
mm-hmm.
people start taking pictures with him. It's Tom Hanks!
Yes! It was the whole time.
Yes! And then, so Tom Hanks was cleaning poo balls. And then, so I'm like, I need to go take a picture with the bosom buddy.
All right, let me just ask you a question. At any point, did you think, Tom Hanks is cleaning the poo pit. Why am I not in there instead?
Yeah, I was like, he's my hero. Are you kidding? So then I run up to him. I'm running up to him with my phone because he's on his way out.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, how about them poo balls? Is what I
said. That's what you said.
Oh,
your
Omar.
Words to him were, hey,
Omar.
How about them
poo balls? And he says to me, just take the picture. I'm on my way out. So what's up, Hanks?
And you can see the picture that Omar posted on his Instagram. Clearly, Tom Hanks not having nearly as much fun as Omar
and it was. Super blurry.
Yeah. It's your eye.
Yeah.
Well, well done.
We've got your tickets for the Weenie Roast coming up just after 7 o'clock with the game we're going to play.
By the way, tickets still available, Access.com if you want to buy them. Blink 182 and Panic at the Disco and Rise Against. That'll be enough right there as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
But then you throw in your Dirty Heads and your Mike Shinoda and your Cold War Kids and your War on Drugs and all the rest. Two big chances for you to win tickets in the first five rows, including one coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, how about some great news?
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
All right, my story comes out of Denver, Colorado. 11-year-old Logan Wilson is about to turn 12. She read a book that inspired her. The book is called Choose to Matter, and it's by two-time Olympic gold medalist U.S. women's soccer team member Julie Foudy. And it inspired Logan, who's 11, just about to turn 12. And she heard the story of a four-year-old girl. In June, she was diagnosed with a rare cancerous brain tumor. And I've not heard of this, but it's called DIPG. And it's only found in children, and there's no cure and there's no treatment.
Oh, wow.
So instead of getting birthday gifts for her 12th birthday party, Logan has organized a family run to benefit Piper. And here's the important part. This has caused a chain reaction as other kids have now canceled their birthday parties and joined her effort in the run to raise money for this family. The mom says one small act of kindness can cause another one to cause another one to cause another one. Logan's mom and dad organized the meeting between Logan and Piper so that just to kind of get to know what she's like and to make the run as helpful as possible. Logan says, I hope they find a cure and work harder and harder to make it better for families who are experiencing it. And Piper's parents have a website with a blog and information on DIPG called warriorsforprincesspiper.com. And on the website, you can buy a Princess Piper's warrior bracelet for $25 to show your support. And I think that's great news.
It is great news, and I love that we are seeing so many stories. You know, I'm thinking about the Parkland kids and how they've become activists for their cause, you know, gun control. But you see so many stories of kids using social media for good, which is really inspiring, figuring out ways to connect with other people and help other people. And that young generation is really doing some cool stuff.
Yeah, 11 years old to think about other people is crazy.
You know what I was doing when I was 11?
What?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie. Okay.
That was you.
Yeah. You know what? I forgot about that. Uh-huh. Right. Allie, you're next.
By now, I think we've all heard about the Nashville Waffle House shooting, right? Just insane guy comes in with his assault rifle, kills four people. Could have killed a lot more had it not been for James Shaw Jr., who said, I acted in a blink of a second when he reloaded his clip. That felt like 30 minutes. I looked at him. He wasn't looking at me. He just had the barrel down. It was like, do it now. Go now. And I just took off. So he not only disarmed him, he caused him to run out of the place. He's gone. But sadly, four people died. Two people were grazed as well with the bullet, including James Shaw Jr. But first of all, hero. Unbelievable that he did this. Put his life in front of the bullet, essentially, to try and save people. He didn't know if it would happen. Turned out it did. But it's the aftermath that makes this James Shaw Jr. just such an incredible human being. He decided, oh, well, I should start a GoFundMe page for the victims. I want to help their families, pay for the funeral, do anything I possibly can. So he set up a GoFundMe page, and he was just asking maybe $15,000. So far, that is now up to $207,000.
Wow.
$207,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For these families. This is a victim himself that decided to do this. So then a separate individual, a journalist, Yashar Ali, decided, well, this guy deserves something. I mean, this guy is the reason so many people survived in there. How about we start a GoFundMe for him? Because it turns out he has a daughter. He just wanted maybe a good vacation for the guy, just something. So far, that separate GoFundMe account has raised $202,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody, you get a GoFundMe. You get a GoFundMe. Everybody gets a GoFundMe.
I'm just saying. It's unbelievable what this guy, 29 years old, just decides, I'm going to take this all, my life into my own hands, do this. Hopefully I can save some people. And then his first thought after it is, how can I now help the people that I couldn't save? Unbelievable. We need many more James Shaw Juniors in this world. And that's my great news.
Detroit, Michigan. This past Tuesday, around 1 a.m., 911 calls started coming in to alert the police that there was a man who was getting ready to jump off an interstate overpass, Interstate 696. He was standing there ready to jump. The police decided this is a dangerous situation, not only for the man, but for the cars going by on the highway underneath. So they diverted traffic off. And while they did that, they stopped all of the tractor trailers that were getting off the freeway and said, hey, why don't you go line up under the bridge? What they did was 13 tractor trailers lined up next to each other under the bridge. So if the man did jump off the bridge, he would only fall 6 feet. Wow. Is that genius or what?
That is genius. That's crazy.
I've never heard of this before. Once we figured out what the situation was, we closed down the traffic, and then all we had to do was talk to him. You know, we always look for people who are involved in this type of incidents. Usually there's a trigger. We try to find out what that trigger is and rectify it. We were able to do that with him. We were able to convince him that this was not the right thing to do. We were able to get him to a local hospital where he's getting the help he needs. But I'll tweet out this photograph of these 13 trucks parked in both directions under the bridge, which is just amazing that those truckers were able to contribute in that way. And that's just an ingenious solution that I'd never heard of before. For that worked in this case. So everyone walked away happy. And that is my great news. You're about 5 minutes away from a chance to win tickets to the K-Rock advance screening of Deadpool 2 coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the world famous K-Rock. Look, look, look. Everybody has a classic movie that they haven't seen. Maybe yours is The Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. Mine is, for instance, there are a lot of movies I haven't seen, but I've never seen any of the Jurassic Park movies, for instance. There's somebody out there listening right now who's never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark or Jaws or Star Wars. You can't see them all. I know. That's offensive to you to your core.
It is.
Film critics consider Citizen Kane to be the greatest movie of all time. And I'd be willing to bet that the majority of people who listen to this show have never taken the time to go back and see Citizen Kane from 80 years ago, right? You can't see them all.
No.
But you should see The Godfather. What I'm saying is I get it, but you should see The Godfather if you live your entire life, Allie, to the age that you're at now, and everybody has told you, wow, is that a great movie?
Yeah, I've been told that for decades. Mm-hmm. And I like those kind of movies. I like Goodfellas. I like The Departed, which isn't really gangster, but a little bit. Peaky Blinders. Love a good gangster movie.
And so many of the things that are in those movies are as a result of the Godfather book by Mario Puzo and the Francis Ford Coppola film. I mean, that's where a lot of those tropes came from.
Right.
Was from, that's the OG mafia movie.
Mm-hmm.
So how did it happen this past weekend in 2018 that you finally got around to seeing the best picture of 1972?
I had taken a nap and I woke up and I thought, you slept too long. You are going to be up for a while. Netflix has The Godfather. You've got 3 hours. Have a diet Mountain Dew and go to town. So I did.
What were your... And Kevin always says, remember the Kevin times, he always says that he believes that your expectations going into a film can sometimes color how much you enjoy it. If you're not expecting much, maybe it'll end up being surprisingly great. If you have been hyped to the max, there's no way it lives up to the pressure. Where were you when you started the film?
I don't think I had huge expectations because everyone had told me, oh, you have to see The Godfather, but the second one is better. So I had that in my head the whole time that you have to see this one just to kind of get the feel for it. Mm-hmm. So you know that number two is coming and it's better. But wow, that movie was long.
I mean, it's got to be around 3 hours.
Yeah,
it is. But it also has a lot going on with a lot of different stories and some of the greatest acting and dialogue you've ever seen in your life.
That's what they say. Yeah.
Allie.
Listen, it was perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
Oh, no,
that's not how
Have you ever seen Al Pacino better?
Here's the thing that I'm embarrassed about. Let me get to that thing in a minute.
Okay.
But first, let me just play for you. If you haven't seen it, probably one of the best known deals is that whole offer thing that Marlon Brando does.
Right.
You rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's going to give you what you want.
Too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Okay.
All right. So that's this reoccurring theme. We get it. I was confused at first. Why are they calling him Vito? Now he's Don. Like, what's his name? And then it occurred to me, oh, he's the Don. Okay,
he's the
got
Don.
It.
He's the head of the
got
mafia
it.
Family, right.
But why the voice? Why? I know people think it's the greatest, like, that Brando chose that voice. It drove me nuts.
Did it drive you nuts because it's been parodied so often and made fun of and duplicated and imitated that it's hard to go back and see it with fresh eyes because that's a caricature now after
right.
all these years
right.
that you've seen other people do it. But I mean, at the time, he was the first and only person who had done it, and that's just how he chose that character to talk. And by the way, Marlon Brando was phenomenal in this movie.
Yeah, he was
good. He's like 35 years old. It's amazing what they made him look like with the prosthetics and whatnot at the time. And just how nervous were you when he was petting the cat? And not a euphemism, kids. How nervous were you that something bad was going to happen to that cat?
Pretty nervous.
And okay. By the way, I mentioned Pacino.
Uh-huh.
Incredible, right?
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
So I'm watching the movie, and I'm thinking to myself, Al Pacino's in this at some point. I'm almost halfway through the movie, and I'm like, where the heck does he come in? Like, is he from another crime family? I use the bathroom. I take a potty break, and I Google the cast, and I'm like, holy crap, he's Michael?
He's Michael Corleone.
I had no idea.
You didn't recognize Al Pacino?
Because he doesn't sound like Al Pacino. He doesn't use that stupid inflection that he does now. He's so young. He looked like just a little brunette kid.
And so handsome, too, by the way.
So handsome. We've got this.
You don't come to Las Vegas and talk to a man like Mauve Green like that.
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
I mean, I got hot during that.
It's funny you said that because I get chills when I hear that because he's got that quiet power
yes.
of a guy who knows how to handle it. And by the way, I hope you will see Godfather 2 because when you see what happens with Fredo, it'll kill you.
Fredo's a big old puss. I hope he dies.
What about James Caan? What about Robert Duvall? What about the great Abe Vigoda? What about John Casale? The list goes on and on and on. Diane Keaton, Talia Shire. I mean, there's nothing but great performances in this movie.
All amazing. And I have to say, as a little kid, I had a t-shirt that had a joke on it that I never knew what it was from until I watched this movie. You guys, I am mortified. But it's the line when Clemenza and Rocco kill Polly and they're leaving the car.
Yes!
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I have leave the gun, take the cannoli on a t-shirt that I'd wear as like a little 10-year-old. Zero idea. Why was I wearing that t-shirt?
I don't know. That's we got to talk to your parents about that one. Waking up with a horse's head? Spoiler
yeah.
alert. Sorry. Come on.
Here's the thing.
There's so many iconic scenes in this film.
How do you sleep through that? Like, there was so much blood in that bed. You didn't at any point wake up and think, ooh, why is my bed wet?
You're missing the point.
Okay. right,
the point is that this is how they deal with people
okay.
in their universe.
Okay.
All right. We're almost out of time here. I'm delighted that you saw it.
Yes.
What's your takeaway? I don't know how you want to close this up with a letter grade or just thoughts. What do you, now that you've seen it, how do you feel?
My whole thought was, had I seen it decades ago, I probably would have thought it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe people's nostalgia kind of gets in the way. Like, people go back and they're like, no, it's one of the best movies ever. Well, I think if I saw it back then, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it now, it was good. And knowing that Al Pacino is the biggest part of number two, I mean, I'd be willing to watch the second one.
Ladies and gentlemen, Allie is on board with The Godfather.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. By the way, Kevin, it's been 45 minutes since we've had any kind of royal wedding talk.
Yeah, so that's fine. Don't worry about it.
And I think you
we're
know.
We're good.
Royal wedding. So our friend Nicole Alvarez is going to be joining us in about 15 minutes or so to recap the wedding from her perspective. And then we're going to be taking some calls from listeners about their favorite part of the royal wedding on Saturday. So all that coming up. But first this.
A long time ago, Bean and I were dumb. I mean, really now, too. But I mean, a long time ago, worse. We had just started, and Omar brought this to us because they play on the B-Team podcast. If you're interested in the Kevin and Bean Show, the B-Team podcast, you can get it at the same place as you get at Kevin and Bean. And it's taking a look at some old stuff that we used to do.
Uh-huh. They do an amazing job on that show, and they come up with so much tape of things that I don't even remember, like this one that we're about to spotlight. What year do you think this was where this tape was made?
I don't know. 91 or 2, maybe? Really, a long time ago.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah.
All right. So and over 25 years ago.
So Bean gets a jaywalking ticket.
Okay.
Do those exist anymore?
I don't know. I don't remember the last time I heard of anyone getting cited for jaywalking.
So we decided it would be funny if I represented him in court and we pled insanity. That was our plan for jaywalking. And we also had a hidden mic.
What?
My mic that was recording stuff.
Which also might have been illegal.
Oh, in court?
In court. That may not have been the smartest thing.
Guys.
But we were trying to guess, like, what if the judge doesn't buy insanity, then what? And we steal an idea from David Letterman, and you'll hear this.
All right, it's Kevin and my client Bean. We're doing the walk of death now.
Man, I'm already getting nervous. I'm really getting nervous now.
We're heading down the sidewalk toward the courthouse. Building is right over there. We had to park a ways away. Now, I hope I can get back within 2 hours or I'll get a parking ticket.
I know, for the darn meter.
Then we'll have to come back and fight it.
We're at the South Hill Station down in Los Angeles. Thanks a lot, Kevin, for taking me out for my final meal as a free man. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Carl's Jr. never tasted so good.
Well, I think you know you're going to get off with me as your lawyer.
Well, I hope that's true. Now, again, for those of you who have not been following this saga, I got a jaywalking ticket last month in Hollywood. I was walking against the light just between you and me because we're friends. I was guilty as hell. We're trying to get off, though. We're pleading insanity, but our big problem is we understand we've got Hangin' Henry for a judge.
Right.
And we're not sure that he's going to take kindly to the insanity thing.
Now, you were going to or from the record store Green Hill?
On my way, on a little street called Cherokee in downtown Hollywood to a record store called Green Hill. That's where I was headed.
All right, we're going to plead insanity, but just in case, because I'm such a thorough lawyer...
Man, you have done your research.
Just in case insanity doesn't work, I've got Kevin and Bean's... We're stealing from David Letterman now. Kevin and Bean's top 10 reasons why Bean jaywalked.
Shall we try some of these out on each other before we face the judge?
Absolutely.
Reasons why I was jaywalking that day. Number 10, thought the hand on the don't walk sign was waving me across. Number 9, to get to the other side. Number 8, at that moment, the evil spirit Bob inhabited my body. Number 7, I didn't want my friends to think I was a chicken. Number 6, the guy inside Green Hill said it would be okay.
You think he's going to buy any of these?
No. Number 5, I didn't want to be late for the Geraldo special on postal employees who worship the devil. Number 4, I was just doing what the little voices told me. Number 3, I was walking off a leg cramp. Number 2, I thought it would be okay with a purchase. And the number 1 reason why I was jaywalking that day in Hollywood...
If insanity doesn't work.
These damn kids today got no respect for the law.
So did we really... I mean, I don't remember this at all. Did we really think we were going to try some of that material out in open court in front of a judge?
No,
we
I didn't. Think... I
we
think
were joking.
I think that was just to be funny because we were 100% in on insanity.
We figured insanity was going to work.
God. Now, not necessarily that it would work for real, but it's jaywalking. Mm-hmm. And we thought if we say insanity, the judge will get a little giggle out of it. Find it funny.
Really?
Didn't happen.
And I made a reference early in the tape to Hangin' Henry as a judge. Did we have intel that he was a judge without a sense of humor? Okay. All right.
I don't think so.
I have no idea how this ends. Did I end up going to jail?
So now we're sitting in court. And do you remember who was sitting behind us?
I don't. I don't remember anything about this day.
The lead singer from a band called Men at Work.
No.
Colin Hay.
Colin Hay. Do you remember that?
With the honked up eye?
Yes.
Colin Hay.
Yes. So we're sitting in court, and our case isn't up yet, and we're having a discussion about who's sitting behind us.
Been ushered inside the courthouse.
Oh, man, it's showtime now. I'm really nervous.
There's how many people are here? Hundreds?
Oh, yeah.
And you're telling me who's sitting behind us?
I'm telling you that the guy sitting behind us in this traffic court is the lead singer of Men at Work.
Men at Work? I'm telling you, that's who he is. I come from a land down under.
That's the same guy. He's the guy, with the weird eye.
It's not him.
It's him. It's the guy from Men at Work.
It's not.
Was it really him?
I think it was.
No,
I think it was because he had the janky eye.
I mean, if I said it was him, I'm sure I would recognize him.
Sure.
So that's funny.
So the judge, this is a weird thing because before our case, the judge for some reason, and I didn't remember this either until I listened to it, the judge was holding up some kind of a stuffed animal and was taking bids on it like it was an auction. And Bean actually bid, I think maybe just to try and make the judge laugh again so that when we got up there, everything would be cool. I don't know. I honestly don't know, but listen.
You say that? Let me see.
The judge is holding up a stuffed animal?
He's looking at the stuffed
animal. Didn't they take this as part of the trade-in?
What's he doing, like a comedy show here? What's the deal?
Oh,
I don't know. We're in line now.
He's going to be hearing our case in two people.
What is my bid?
An original.
He's taking bids. Bid, man. I'm not going to bid.
Los Angeles Public Library.
$250.
All right, I'll bid.
$250. Not enough. $2.50.
You're kidding. You're
awesome. Come on.
Think I'll get it?
I'm going to get good insurance. Okay, that's what.
All right, man. Here we go. Good luck.
Yes, sir. All right.
Cherokee.
Looking over your case.
All right, so I don't know why Bean bid $250. I don't think he was actually taking bids.
Oh, man.
But I think we were just trying to make him laugh.
Okay.
So now we're up. He's looking at the paperwork.
Mm-hmm. I'm nervous now.
Bean and I are standing at the table. Who do you want standing at the table less than me when you're really in court?
Mm-hmm. No one.
Right?
Can we plead insanity?
Wait. Who are you?
I'm just with him.
You're just with him?
Yeah. Just a friend.
Who are you?
Oh, no.
Oh, you're not a lawyer anymore, are you, Kevin?
No. All of
a sudden, I'm not mouthing off about being a lawyer. Now I'm just a dude. I got nothing to do with this. I don't even know this guy.
Well, I think we'll find out how good a friend.
Okay. Oh, man.
Throw him in jail.
He said, we're going to find out how good a friend. And somebody else said, throw him in jail.
Good. 4 days to jail.
No.
4 days in jail, 2 days each.
Boy, he had no time for our nonsense.
Come on. It's jaywalking. Somebody says insanity. You're in court every day, all day. You must be bored. Isn't that funny? A little?
That's at least a chuckle.
I mean, come on.
Oh, that's a bad idea. I don't even know him. I'm with this guy.
Now I'm completely distancing myself because I don't want to go to jail at all. That's a bean.
All right, thank you, Eric. We lost.
Hey, we're 0-1. I'm not depressed. You're not depressed. I am. It's my $20. We lost, Kevin. I thought you said it was airtight. I thought you said we couldn't lose.
We said,
call me Perry Mason, you said.
I didn't say it was airtight. I said you were going to be airtight.
Allie, you found a list of the 25 most rewatchable movies of all time.
Yeah, it was an older list, but somebody had tweeted about it, and I was going through the tweets, the responses from people. First of all, everyone's always mad at a list.
Sure.
That their movie isn't on there. What about this? But this list, I think it was from 2015, has the most rewatchable movies. Number one was Star Wars. Number two, Wizard of Oz. Number three, Sound of Music. Okay. And it goes on and on from there. But people were very upset that their movie wasn't on the list. And it's understandable. It's the most rewatchable for you.
Right. Exactly. Like, I have three that I'll watch anytime they come on.
Mm-hmm.
One is Deadpool.
Okay.
I'm a monster inside and out. I belong in a circus.
Wait, Vanessa loves you. She doesn't care what you love.
Oh. Do you like what you see?
No. You look like an avocado. Had sex with an older, more disgusting avocado.
It could be in the middle of it. I'll watch the end of it.
Yeah,
doesn't
I get
matter.
It.
Just anytime. Number two for me is any Harry Potter movie. I love those.
Nerd alert.
Do you really, Kevin?
I do. I love that series. Wow. I love the movies. I think the movies are great. Not a big reader. Didn't read the books.
Yeah. You even went to the Hollywood Bowl to see it perform.
I did. Yeah, with an orchestra. That's true. Yeah. What? It's up with me, right?
Fight back! You coward, fight back!
No. He belongs to the Dark Lord.
I mean, come on, that's a great series.
I bet it is.
My third one is Dirty Dancing.
Sorry. Stop it. You stop it right there. You dick.
My third one is Talladega Nights. Okay. Talladega Nights. It doesn't
now
matter where it is.
Talking here. Yeah, right. Here we go.
Doesn't matter where it is.
Mr. Biden, come on down here. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Help me, Allah. Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise.
This is going downhill fast. It I is. Think it'd be a great time to go to commercial break.
Help me, Oprah Winfrey.
Can I tell you, when I saw that movie in the theater, as I was leaving with my friend, a family was waiting right by the door. They're like, I'm sorry, we were just waiting to see who the hell was laughing as much. And it was
and
you.
It was you?
It was me and my friend. It was the point where we were hitting each other. There was nowhere to contain our laughter, so it was coming out in punches. Oh, I love that
that's
movie.
That's a great movie.
That is a good
all right,
one.
That's my top three.
Well, I have a different top three,
okay,
if you will. But one movie that I got sucked in this weekend watching, and it was on Bravo. I mean, I own this movie. I can watch it anytime. I'm now watching it with commercials. Right. What is wrong with me? And that movie, The Shawshank Redemption.
I mean, Mexico is way the hell down there, and you're in here, and that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. It's down there, and I'm in here. I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living. You get busy dying.
Right?
I'm already tearing up. I'm like, will they ever meet up again in Mexico, Andy and Red? I don't know. Plot twist. They do.
How what? Many yards of spoiler. S did he crawl through?
A lot of sewage. 50 yards. Yeah.
No, 300. That's three football fields.
Such a good movie. I love it so
that
much.
That's a good movie.
Number
two is Paul Blart?
No, no. Okay. Just out of the top three.
Okay. I like Paul Blart, by the way.
Oh, so does Kevin. Number two for me, I don't know if it's just because you've got Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson, Irish mob. Oh. Who's the mole? Who's corrupt? I don't know. Everything's changing. The Departed.
You didn't come here to talk, right? You came here to get arrested. You got tapes of what? Costello was my informant. I was a rat. Prove it. He was working for me. He was my informant. Shut your mouth. Come on, get up.
That's weird because I do love that movie, yeah. But it doesn't come to mind as
I'll watch
the most rewatchable.
It anytime. And I'm always shocked when the elevator doors open. I'm like,
right.
What?
Yes. And I'm always sad when Charlie Sheen's dad,
Martin,
spoiler alert, gets thrown off the roof
and
lands right there.
Ugh.
I love that movie.
I do too.
I've seen it 40 times probably.
Absolutely.
I really have.
I will say this movie is such a joke with my family because they will call me and be like, we were flipping channels. It's on. So just letting you know.
You're number three?
I will watch this movie anytime, any place. I've probably seen it, not kidding, over 200 times.
Wow!
I can recite it from beginning to end. I did a cheerleading dance to one of the songs on the soundtrack. It's insane. My love for Johnny Castle and Baby Houseman. It is Dirty Dancing.
So I'm going to do my kind of dancing with a great partner who's not only a terrific dancer, but somebody who's taught me that there are people willing to stand up for other people no matter what it costs them. Somebody who's taught me about the kind of person I want to be.
Are you crying?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh,
all I want to do is go to Kellerman's in the Poconos. I want to just learn how to dance with the dance instructor. I want to bone him for the first time, like Baby Houseman. I don't want to go through the whole ordeal, the abortion sitch and lie to my dad, that type of thing.
Right. Just the good parts.
Just the good parts. My dance space, your dance space.
You've seen it over 200 times.
100%.
Wow.
It's a sickness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Striker?
All right. Well,
Can I guess?
Like, yeah, you can
Malibu's
guess.
Malibu's Most Wanted.
No, but that does get honorable mention, as does Hoosiers, Old School, and Wedding Crashers.
Oh.
But
okay, good.
Rewatchable
I didn't know
movies.
We could do honorable mention.
I wasn't aware, yeah.
I'm making my own rules on my seventh day hanging out with you guys.
All right.
Similar to Allie, if any of these movies are on cable where there's commercials, I will watch with the commercials, even though I own the movies. First up, though, it's a movie that came out in 1986, my best friend's sister's boyfriend, brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out of 31 flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
Bueller. Bueller.
One more, please.
Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bueller.
I mean,
real good.
That is great.
Real
That's a good,
good
choice.
So good. All right. Next up. All right. This is a movie.
Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, such
Do
a classic.
Do you have any sausages? Sausages. This is. I go to bed to this movie two nights a week.
Two nights a week.
What? Two nights a week. It helps me go to sleep.
Okay.
What?
You beat Nicky with fists. He comes back with a bat. You beat with him with a knife. He comes back with a gun. And if you beat him with a gun, you better kill him because he'll keep coming back and back until one of you is dead.
I didn't do anything. I mean, I didn't order you or anybody. I only told Andy Stone that you had a lot of heat on you and that was a problem.
You want me to get out of my own town?
Yeah, I said let the bullshit blow over for a while so I can run the casino. Anything goes wrong with the casino, it's my ass. It's not yours, it's my ass.
I don't know whether you notice or not, but you only have your casino because I made that possible.
Joe Pesci.
How are you falling asleep to Casino?
Right?
It is not a relaxing movie.
The first 70 minutes are so soothing and so good, and all the voiceover work. I just love it so much. They're in Las Vegas, the blowing up and setting up the whole movie. It's and Sharon Stone is such a movie star with her clothes and so hot. And the way Joe, I told you, pal, to come to K-Rock. I don't think so.
All right.
All right.
Ferris Bueller and
Casino.
That's
a Martin Scorsese movie. Just Ali like had one as well. All right. This next one makes me cry every single time I have seen it, especially the last scene when he realizes his dad is the catcher and they have a catch, and it's this. That's not it.
Oh.
That's
live footage if
this field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good. And it could be again. Oh. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Yeah, if you build it, he will come, ease his pain, go to the distance. Kevin Costner thought he was easing his dad's pain. But no, it was your pain, Kevin Costner. You were easing. And I love that. They have the catch. That's Field of Dreams, 1989.
When he says, want to have a catch?
Yeah.
Lose it, right?
Lose it.
Oh.
But one thing that bothers me, dad, the catcher, cannot throw a baseball properly. They couldn't hire an actor for 1 minute who can throw a ball properly. It looked like he never played catch in his life. That's one little thing that bothers me, but I'll watch that movie anytime it's on.
And do you get mad? Do you yell at it? What is?
He can't throw a ball! A little bit. To my wife, I'm like, babe, he can't throw! And why can't he throw?
Is that our friend Beer Mug?
Yo, yo, yo!
Muggs, what do you think about a 30-year-old who's living at home?
Right? Look, what a loser, okay?
Right?
Hey, since you're here, let's play some B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah!
Ooh, ooh!
B-Mix's Guess, yeah!
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a dick!
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya,
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes!
I don't know if I've brought it up before, but what does penis slapping have to do with anything that we're doing on B-Mix's
I don't know, but
Guess?
I love it, and I insist we keep using it.
All right, caveat here before we play the game. I've got a list in front of me, and I'm going to ask the participants in the room to name as many of them as they can in the top 10, and we'll see who gets the most. The caveat is that, Kevin, if you don't win this game...
Come on, don't put that kind of pressure on me.
Then I don't know anything about you, because I would put my paycheck and my mortgage on you winning this game. That's how confident I am that this is your category. I think, Muggs, you're going to be fine with it. Allie, you are always a good player, but I think this is going to be Kevin's game, so let's see. The category today for B Makes This Guess is the best ice cream toppings.
Yay!
The best ice cream toppings. So just imagine you got some ice cream and there's just a full service bar of anything you can imagine. By the way, there are 100 items on this list for ice cream toppings.
What?
I've only got the top 25 here in front of me, but there are a lot of things you could put on your ice cream. What are, this isn't most popular, this is best. Okay?
All right.
So, Kevin, you sit at the head of the table for B-Mix's Guess. You get to go first. What's the... All right, our listeners didn't get to hear that.
Man.
Oh,
our
dear.
Listeners missed that because we have something called a 7-second delay.
Come on, though.
That may be how you enjoy ice cream.
What about your Lord and Savior? I used to work at Cold Stone Creamery. I don't think we had that topping there.
Oh, you had it. You had it.
Sorry. I'll give you a real guess.
Oh, now you want to guess again. Okay.
Hot fudge. Holy moly.
Hot
fudge.
Yeah, that would be on there.
Well, I mean,
chocolate? Is there a difference in how is hot fudge not a
topping?
Thank you.
I'm gonna tell you that fudge is on the list at number 24.
Fudge is not a no. They're talking about chunks of fudge. I would assume.
Yes, but you're talking about melted.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna give you number 2 chocolate syrup. Then how about
no,
this?
You are
same
not.
Thing. Same thing.
Totally different.
Same thing.
Really?
Completely different.
If it gets me a point, it's the
whatever.
Same.
Wow. You know, I think you're right, Allie. Now that I think about it,
no,
I
it's not. It's not the same.
So hot fudge is not among
okay.
the top 25.
Stupid.
That's insane. This list sucks.
Stupid.
No, I'm telling you guys, it's a really good list.
Okay. All right. So I said hot fudge, so none, I guess, for me. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Okay,
so
no, I gave you one.
Continue.
All right. Beer Bug, I believe you're up next.
Rainbow mother effing sprinkles.
Rainbows, you guys are going to love this, but no.
What?
No rainbow sprinkles. Mm.
Wow. How is that not okay, on there? Then Jimmy's.
Jimmy's.
The chocolate sprinkles.
Yes, that is number 9. Chocolate sprinkles is number 9 on the list. Well done, Allie McKay.
Thank Kevin. You.
Wait, did I get credit for hot fudge?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was getting his chocolate sauce. I was just going to go the other one that he already said. I'm going to say nuts.
Nuts. Just generic nuts?
D's.
Number 15 is peanuts.
D's.
D's. Kevin was pointing.
Right. Not so much D's as they are D's.
Number 15 is nuts. I'm sorry, not inside the top 10. All right, Mugs, we're talking about the best ice cream toppings.
Gotta go. Caramel, baby.
Caramel.
Caramel, baby.
Caramel, baby. Now you're talking about like caramel syrup,
right,
I guess is
right.
what you're talking about. Yes, that is number 3 on the
right.
list.
What?
Caramel syrup is number 3, just behind chocolate syrup. I'm stunned.
Hmm.
Stunned that nobody has come up with number 1 yet. Honestly, I thought all 3 of you would yell it at the same time when we started. Allie, you're up.
Whipped cream.
Number 1, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, whipped cream on ice cream is considered the best of all ice cream toppings.
With hot fudge, though. You
yeah.
can
right.
just put it on by itself all willy-nilly.
I'm well, boycotting this list.
Right? Then you well. Drizzle D's nuts on top, right?
I mean, it does say, I mean, we did give him chocolate syrup, okay. which I think is what hot fudge, I mean, I think that's the equivalent, I think, is what
it's
they call
not.
It. All right, Kevin, I think we can go around, what, one more time, maybe?
I'm going to say banana.
Yeah, a banana is a great guess, but it's number 14. Number 14 on the list. Muggsy.
Maraschino cherries.
Number 6.
All right. Mm.
Well done. I like a good cherry on top of my ice cream, man.
Does that include all fruit, then?
That is the
oh,
only...
Oh, trying to get some hints.
That is the only fruit in the top 10.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. chocolate chips.
Yes, chocolate chips are number 8 on the list. Well done. You get a point as well. Hey, what is the score? Anyone keep a track?
I've got 3. Muggs has 2. Kevin has a questionable 1.
Wow.
Shall
and
we?
And it's questionable.
Shall we end it there with a winner? Or do you guys feel like you have one more in you?
I got one more in me.
All right. Kevin?
Kevin?
I know, I'm thinking.
All right. And you're chewing.
Chewing my gum.
I can hear that.
Ice cream toppings is the topic.
How does Kevin not know?
This is crazy.
I swear to God.
This is your area.
I mean, you would think it's my specialty.
Okay, let's just call it right there.
How about some goddamn butterscotch?
Yeah.
Allie,
oh, butterscotch. What are you, a communist?
You are the winner, by the way. Butterscotch is number 17. 17
right.
list, butterscotch syrup. Here's your top, I'll give you the top 20, all right? Top 20, waffle cone pieces.
Dumb.
Twix.
Yes.
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Of course.
Butterscotch syrup.
Sure.
Cookies. You know, you break up a cookie and an ice cream. Eh. Then we did peanut
topping.
Wait, did you just say butterscotch syrup?
Yes.
So F you, it was in the top 10.
No, he's
no,
in like 17.
17.
Oh, I'm so- wow. But I still won? Okay.
You still won, yes. 15 peanuts, I think someone had. Someone had banana at 14. Cookie dough was number 13. Strawberries at number 12. Peanut butter cup
wow.
at 11. Mm-hmm. Number 10 is a great, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't get the love it deserves, and that's the magic shell.
Oh, that's the chocolate that hardens?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
The magic shell.
Yeah, not that great.
Number 9, chocolate sprinkles. Number 8, chocolate chips. Number 7, M&M's, you guys.
M&M's.
Sure.
Number 6, Muggsy, your maraschino cherries. Number 5, another phenomenal topping, Oreo cookies.
It doesn't that fall in the Oreo cookie categories. Category?
Yes.
Well, they have it separate.
This,
I'm sorry.
This list blows.
Number 4, brownie bits.
What?
Then caramel syrup, chocolate syrup, and number 1 was whipped cream. This has been Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah.
More Green Day tickets for you at the Rose Bowl coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Brand new internet roundup. And also, have you guys been following this? Maybe you didn't see it, Kevin, because you don't watch the news because you're a kid.
Right.
But apparently there is an asteroid, a meteor, I think, that is on its way to kill us all. I think it's going to hit the Earth and we're all going to die.
All right.
I think it's going to be like the thing that wiped out the dinosaurs. I think it's headed toward us, and it's heading toward us soon. And we got an update on that coming up next hour here on K-Rock.
We've been talking about leaf blowers a lot because they've been outside Bean's house. And Bean hates them more than life itself.
Don't get me started on leaf blowers. They're evil incarnate. They should be literally against the law.
I mean, they're not evil.
They should be outlawed.
Yeah.
You should not be allowed to use... I saw a guy yesterday. Don't get me started. A guy yesterday.
I feel like we already got you started. It's too
and
late.
I'm not joking. Somebody at the house near me had been doing a bunch of sawing. They had sawhorses up and they were cutting a bunch of wood. So there's sawdust all over their sidewalk. A guy went out there with a leaf blower and blew the sawdust from in front of his house on his sidewalk into the street and then further into the street and then onto the neighbors across the street's yard.
Right. That's
where all the sawdust went.
Right. That's why I love it. It's the most incredibly rude thing ever.
Yeah.
Look, I have a lot of crap on my ground. So instead of picking it up, I'm just going to blow it into your yard.
Yes. Yes.
That cracks me up every time
it's
I see
insane.
It. Makes me
but
laugh.
At least it couldn't be louder and it couldn't be smellier. At least it has all three of those things going on.
Well, Omar brought in an electric one, an electric leaf blower. So we are, we're ready for Kevin Annoys You.
Kevin.
So I take the leaf blower and I go from room to room and clean it up.
Wait, room to room, you mean
inside
a building?
Yeah. Inside the building, yes.
Here at K-Rock?
Yes.
You don't use a leaf blower inside?
Up. You do. Now you do. So it started with Jared, who's the receptionist.
Oh, sweet Jared.
He's a nice, nice guy, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I blew all kinds of paper and stickers and stuff. It was raining in there. It was pretty sweet. It was pretty sweet.
Was it?
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. And then former producer Lightning, I went into his office and hit him with that.
Cleaning up, don't worry. It's all going to be good, don't worry. Just cleaning up. We're good.
And they don't know you're coming or anything, right?
Right,
you just walk in, and what are you wearing? You got the goggles on?
I have the safety goggles. I have a yellow hard hat.
Is the video up at K-Rock.com?
Tell me you have a vest.
They put the video up. I think it is at K-Rock.com, yes.
Okay.
And probably tweeted. Yeah, I had the vest, the super reflective vest. I was ready.
Sure.
You know, you got to be ready when you're doing this kind of labor. So then we came across, I was like, where is everybody? This is weird. I'm trying to attack people with a leaf blower and they're all gone. And it turns out they were all in a sales meeting.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
So this is a conference room and it's, I would guess, 35 people.
And maybe bosses?
It would be mostly bosses, including our direct boss, Kevin Weatherby.
Okay.
And, you know, sales general managers and stuff. And they were having a meeting. And I sort of just focused the leaf blower right on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So it just was a nightmare of paperwork. It was not fun for them,
mm-mm.
Although I enjoyed it.
Sorry, everyone.
Right? Went everywhere.
Can you imagine you're sitting there in that meeting and you're just trying to make the station some money?
Right?
That's all you're trying to do.
Right?
And then some jackass shows up.
And then finally, Mr. Weatherby's assistant, Sabrina.
Oh, Sabrina.
Sweetest human ever.
Nicest person in the world, mm-hmm. Right? Well, a little south.
Hey, I'm cleaning up. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I spilled her tea everywhere.
Well, look, sometimes you gotta break a few eggs to make an omelet.
That is not sympathetic.
I didn't see
the damage that was done.
I didn't see the tea, so I didn't know it was there.
No.
But, I mean, in my defense, it only spilled on her computer keyboard and her outfit.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Did Chef's change it into something?
Oh,
no, I was just asking. Did you, was there
I'm
some backup?
To her on the phone. Can you just keep Uncle Creepy out of it?
Let's say hi to Sabrina.
Hey, Sabrina.
Good morning.
So thank you so much for joining us. So you're sitting there at your desk doing the good work that you do every day to keep this radio station running. And what happens?
So I'm just sitting at my desk and Kevin walks in and blows not just all my papers around. He gets my tea and it just spills all over, like all over my papers, all over, like my keyboard was drenched. I was drenched. Luckily, it wasn't hot anymore, but yeah, it was good times.
Good times. Now, did you think it was funny, or were you ticked off as you should have been?
No, I thought it was hysterical. I was laughing. So
really?
Hard.
Oh, sweet. She was covering her head and trying to get out of the way, and papers were flying everywhere, covered in tea.
If it was anybody else, I think I would have been pissed. But since it was Kevin, it was kind of funny.
All right. How nice is she?
She's the nicest person in the world.
So, Kevin,
Allie just looked at me and shook her head like, no, you're bad. No.
I would have killed you.
She's not accepting that.
did it create a bad hair day for you? Because I'm watching this video at krock.com right now, and Kevin is literally taking the electric leaf blower and putting it in people's faces so that their hair just blows back.
Sometimes that's where the dirt is.
True. You know what? My hair was in a ponytail that day, so, you know, it worked out for everyone.
So she still worked out for everyone.
Well, I can't believe you took it that well.
Your keyboard, I'm sorry?
My keyboard was not okay. Mm. When he left, I had to get like a stack of paper towels, and for like 5 minutes, I had to just like flip my keyboard upside down because it was like there was that much tea coming out of it.
I'm sorry, Sabrina. I'm sorry about that.
Everything I apologize.
Everything else I'm happy with, but I'm really sorry about the tea. I didn't know about the tea.
I apologize that Kevin is a dick, Sabrina.
I feel like he should at least buy me like some nice mug where that can happen again.
I'll get you a mug.
A spill-proof mug. Great idea.
For next time.
I'll get you a mug. Thank you, Sabrina.
Kevin.
I'm excited about a lot of stuff on today's show, including Jersey Shore recap with Omar coming up. Also, the Keep It 100 because it's Friday. But I'm really most excited about Allie doing math later.
That is going to be good.
What?
Yeah. Allie doing math. It's a Mission Impossible Allie style on the program today to give away those tickets and qualify you for the world premiere in Paris, France. Because you love math, I'm told.
Oh, no.
She loves math.
Anyway, that's all coming up this morning around the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 6:22.
This is Zero Love. Yeah, I'm so thug because I'm driving on E9. Feel like I'm on drugs because this is my thug life. This is what I love. So don't fill it up because we are so thug. This is Zero Club. Kev Dog!
The Zero Club is back, Kevin?
All right, listen. The Zero Club never went away.
Well, what do you mean?
Listen. All right, this is... I pulled some tape from when this started, which was October 3rd, 2016.
Oh, my God.
That's when the first time the Zero Club was brought up. Here it is.
Kevin tweeted a photo of his car dashboard with the words distance to empty on it. 0 miles. And then he tweets this. A, made it. B, new record.
Yeah.
C, keep doing what I'm doing.
Right?
Because a week before that, it was 1 mile to empty.
Now, what would have happened if there hadn't been a gas station in that final mile
Because you're not a precise person, Bean, like I am.
My car lets me know at 30 miles. And I never knew that until 2 weeks ago because I never go at least... usually a quarter of a tank. That's my limit. Like, oh, my God, I need gas.
Okay, so that was October 3rd, 2016.
Mm. All right, so that's like a year and 9 months ago you brought that up on the air.
And people started sending in pictures, which was a shock. That other people sent in pictures of their dashboards.
Right.
And with 0 miles on it. And then we sort of started a club. We were giving out t-shirts for a while.
That's right. The Zero Club t-shirt.
It was the weirdest thing that's ever happened because I assumed, rightly so, that it's a dumb thing to do. When I came in, Bean would make fun of me. Fine. And it would go away. That's all I thought.
But didn't we have a conversation that day where it was revealed that you were far from alone,
yes,
even with the people who work on the show? Even though I was expecting you would be the only dumbass, it turned out we had other people on the show who also like to live dangerously.
Ralph said he does that every once in a while, too. So then the Zero Club was born. Now, this is maybe 2 weeks later.
The Zero Club may be
your legacy, Kevin. That may be what people most remember you for. When you finally pass away, people go, oh, Kevin, he's the one who started the Zero Club.
Here's the thing, though. I posted a picture of Distance to Empty Zero. So I thought that would be the end of it. Mm-hmm. Is that Bean makes fun of me, like he do, mm-hmm. and I deserve it, like I do, mm-hmm. and then we move on. Mm-hmm. And since then, I don't know. I can't tell you how many pictures of gas gauges I've received.
I think you summed it up best a couple weeks ago. You said, you guys, this is a movement.
This is a movement. And I don't know if it's a new movement or it's just somebody, all of the people who live this way finally have a club.
Yeah. Like they thought they'd be mocked, but instead they're right. embraced. Yeah.
And what a surprise that was, because I just assumed that I was doing it wrong, and that's the worst way to do it.
Yeah.
But then but it's not a good way to live.
But then no. it's certainly,
I mean, it's a terrible way to run your life, and yet hundreds of people.
Hundreds of people.
Not yes. only hundreds of people, they're actually writing in saying, what a rush.
Right.
So exhilarating. What's wrong with you people?
Right, so that was probably, let's see, October, November, probably December.
But then it died out
2016.
By Christmas. It died out, certainly, right, by then.
Which
right?
is what I thought. So I wanted to give you the update. And the update is that now, in the middle of June 2018,
right,
we average more than one picture per day. More than one per day.
But from the same person.
No.
Oh.
And from all over the world.
Oh. They all want to be where the action is.
Right? I just got one a couple days ago from Switzerland where the guy goes, is there a 0 kilometer club? And I was like, there is now. So people send them in. I'm not joking. There's not one day that goes by that somebody doesn't send a picture of their dashboard. We put them up at, if you hashtag the Zero Club, uh-huh. we put them up on Instagram at Kevin and Bean at that account. There's a whole folder.
Oh, my God.
And you can just go through one after another after another after another after another of people who've sent in pictures to be a part of the Zero Club.
It's a movement.
Now, I wonder...
For two
I wonder,
years.
I wonder how many people are just, that's the way they live, like you, or are a bunch of these people who found themselves in the Zero Club for the first time and they naturally thought of you because they're like, oh, my God, my gas tank is down so low, I got to tell Kevin.
I don't know because, like I said, I assumed that I was just going to be mocked and that would be mm-hmm. the end of it, day one. So then 2 weeks later, I was really surprised that people were sending in pictures. You know, a couple of months later, it didn't make any sense to me. That was Christmas 2006. So all of 16. So all of 2017, every day.
Every day.
And for a while, we just didn't highlight them or pay any attention to them. Maybe I'd write them back or whatever. Uh-huh. And then all of this year, it's mid-June 2018. We get a picture a day, at least, sometimes more.
You still stand by it as being the way to go?
No, I've never stood by it as the way to go. This is a terrible way to run your life. Not smart. It does damage to your car. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly stupid.
It does damage to your butthole, too, based on how close the gas stations are. Right? I mean, I would imagine you would be super, super tense when you know you've pushed it to the limit.
Well, that's my problem is it doesn't make me tense.
Right.
So now I still
do it. It's exciting.
I still do it.
It's exhilarating.
It's exhilarating. It's just more, I can make it home. I'll just fill up at the gas station by my house.
Right.
So no big deal. But I still do that to this day. Maybe a week ago I did it. And I every time I think the same thing. I'm an idiot. Why do I do this? This is really stupid.
I just did a 25-mile drive with my gas tank at zero. It was one of the most exhilarating things of my life. Zero Club!
I'm telling you that it's still as alive and strong as it was almost 2 years ago.
Zero Club, baby. That's how we roll, mother.
You should have monetized this in some way.
Who could have ever seen this happening? Who could have ever thought that one other person lived like this?
I'm letting it ride, baby. I'm letting it ride. Woo! Zero Club!
It hasn't dampened in the enthusiasm department 1% in about a year and 9 months. I don't get it.
Kevin, you found your tribe. Just be happy.
I found my tribe. Bachelorette on last night. So in about 10 minutes, we've got another Kevin and Bean Bachelorette report coming up. It is 22 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You have been out for a couple of days. And while you were gone...
A lot has changed.
First of all, fire must cleanse us. But second of all, not only did I have a moment with, I did something that I don't think I have ever done in my entire radio career.
Sweet.
And that is, and you're not going to believe this, that is accidentally say the F word on the radio.
What?
Yes.
Yep.
Accidentally?
Yes. Not for comedy. Not like you know, Ralph does, where he just throws it down there just to get a reaction out of us. No, this was in conversation, completely out of the blue, with no pretense or malice. It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, or that's awesome.
I mean, are you surprised to hear that that happened? Because I'm not, as you know, I'm not a big, neither are you. Neither of us are big swearers in real life.
Right.
I mean, we swear for comedy, right?
Sure.
But it just
happened.
But
you, less than me, even.
Yes. Way less.
Yeah.
Hey, take it easy.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Chip was like, come on, Bean. Like, I think Chip said, aren't you the one person I shouldn't have to have my finger on the button for? Allie, you were stunned.
I was stunned. But the most stunned was Bean, which made it so much better.
Yeah, that's the best.
So for folks listening now, you probably didn't hear it. So this was in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday. We had on the showrunner for this this NFL Films program on Amazon called All or Nothing. It's it starts Friday, by the way. It's about the 2016 Rams season. It's a great show.
That's kinda a like, great series.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of like they did the Cardinals last year.
Yep.
The Cardinals, right?
Yep.
Kind of like HBO Hard Knocks. Anyway, so we had him on, and it was near the end of the interview, and I was mentioning that it was great that they had John Hamm as the narrator this year. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about how awesome John Hamm is.
What you wanted to do to him?
And yeah. Close.
Oh.
Somehow, this is what came out.
I was kidding.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
Oh, you're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is effing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did.
I'm serious. John Hamm just made you cuss.
That was a moment with Bean.
In defense of Bean, he's not wrong.
He is not. I agree 100%.
That's awesome.
But the fact that he said the word, then immediately backed it up with effing, in case we didn't know what that word was.
Yeah, like amazing. Somehow that was going to erase the bad word by doing that.
But the way delay works, if Chip got out of delay, no one heard the first word. So when Bean says effing, they would hear
maybe.
That.
Maybe, yeah.
And Bean knew that.
Okay.
Not
credit.
Even a little bit. And it just, it really, I'm not going to lie, it shook me.
Oh, it's not that big a deal.
No, it did. because it never has happened before, and I think I expect a certain level of professionalism. Even on this show, I feel like there's some things.
When does that start?
Because I feel like there's some things I know I can't say.
Right.
It should never cross my mind to say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I was disappointed in me.
We're all disappointed in you, but not for that. Normal conversation, that kind of word comes up a lot.
Of course. And it happens frequently where somebody says it on the air. It's usually a caller or a guest who's just having a conversation. That's how people talk. And
it's
they just
anyone but Bean.
So I wasn't happy with that. Want to hear it again?
Yeah.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
Oh, you're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is f-ing amazing. Effing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did. I've never
done
that
before. John Hamm just made you cuss?
That was a moment with Bean.
I'm happy with that.
Let me add a PS to this because it happened yesterday, and I don't know if we'll have time otherwise to play this. This is another great piece of tape that I want to play, and that is Dan Stevens, who, Kevin, you love from Legion.
Yep.
Beauty and the Beast star. I know him and love him from Downton Abbey. He's doing a press tour right now for his new sci-fi film called Kill Switch, I think. And he's on a British TV show, and a woman who's interviewing him says something. But she, unlike me, she didn't realize what it was she said on the air. And everybody else is laughing around her, and she's just so confused, but presses on with the interview, and I think you'll enjoy this. Again, Dan Stevens from yesterday.
This is you as an All-American, and a big opportunity for you in Hollywood. You must have had to beat off a lot of American men.
Okay. Now, that's not what she means.
No.
How do you know?
beat out a lot of American men, a lot of competition for the role, and you'll hear that the other, her co-host and the actor Dan Stevens start cracking up. She's going on because she doesn't know.
You must have had to beat off a lot of American men to get this part. Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
She still doesn't know. And by the way, you hear all the crew laughing in the background, all the people behind the cameras and whatnot. They just can't believe it's happening.
Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
You had to get the role. There was quite a few men up for the role as well.
So this is her co-host who's jumping in to rephrase the question. You know, to get the role is what she means.
There were.
And compose yourself.
By the way, she's compose yourself as if she's like, she's now ticked at Dan Stevens because, hey, why can't you be professional? I just asked you a reasonable question and you're still laughing. What's up, dude?
Okay, Dan, why are there lots of other Americans up for this role?
I guess there were. When I sat down with the director, Adam Wingard, it was very apparent that we had a very similar twisted sense of humor and we wanted to have a lot of fun with this and make people laugh with it. And that's exactly what you've done to me this morning. And I hope we can do with the guest, you know.
So there you go. By the way, I've been in that position as well where everyone else is laughing.
Yeah.
And you're sort of trying to think back through what you said and how you could have screwed up. That happens to me a lot.
Oh.
It's weird. When everybody's laughing, you go, okay, they all get something.
And a lot of times, if it's something good, you'll say, what did I do? Not knowing that, no, it's just funny.
Well, it's just an assumption.
Yeah.
On my part, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
And she beat him off.
Yeah.
All right, good times. Watch our language, people. Bean.
Right?
Bean.
I know. I believe me.
People that don't pay attention to the rules.
Allie, you were obsessed with this story of sabotage.
This is insanity.
Okay.
This has to do with a young man. His name is Eric Abramovitz. He was training for this moment his whole life. He wanted to study under one of the best clarinet teachers on the planet. This kid was this elite musician, won a ton of awards. He had gone through this process of just competing against all these people. It was now down to him and another guy.
So he was living Jimmy Kimmel's dream life to continue as a clarinet player for the rest of his life. Rather than have to give it up and be a stupid talk show host.
Yes.
That was his full-on plan, is to play the clarinet.
That was his first dream. His first dream was to be a clarinetist, yes.
Come on,
exactly.
Guys.
So this kid is living the dream.
But a clarinet is what we're saying.
Let Eric Abramovitz live his best life.
Go with the sax, dude.
All right. Well, anyway, so it was down to him and another guy. This is for a full-ride scholarship to a prestigious music conservatory here in L.A.
Okay.
He then gets the email that he is not going to be joining his favorite clarinet dude out there in L.A., he did not make it. He was devastated. Like, worst. Yeah.
That sucks, because you can wait for months for that to come at some point.
Yeah, and it really changed things. He was depressed. He went through this whole depression. Then turned out...
But he didn't give up on the clarinet, did he, Allie?
He certainly didn't. But turns out his girlfriend at the time intercepted an email that said, oh, yeah, you got in. Congratulations. Full ride. Woohoo.
Intercepted it,
changed the wording of it, put it on a new email from an email account she made up saying that he was rejected. She then made an email for Eric, sent it to the teacher and said, I'm just not going to be able to make it for this. I'm going to be elsewhere. But thank you, for the opportunity.
She told him he didn't get in. She told the institution that he didn't want to go.
Absolutely.
What?
So they, he's depressed. It's awful. They dated about 6 more months. And then he decided.
Spock sabotaged the system.
He was still. Really wanted to audition for a place at USC because this teacher now was going to be at USC.
Was he still playing the clarinet?
He sure was.
Okay, back to you.
So he did the audition, did everything, wound up getting in at USC, obviously nowhere near the scholarship that he had originally gotten. But the teacher said, why now? Why when you rejected me? And the kid was like, wait, you rejected me? And then kind of left it at that. They were like, no, you did. No, you did. Kind of left it like that. And then a few weeks after that, another kid from the school was like, why didn't you come when you had the chance to study under him for a full ride? And he's like, because I got rejected. What's happening? Started putting two and two together, got people involved with some computer know-how.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it was the girlfriend the whole time.
That's insanity.
Found out it was her, and a judge ruled and sided with Abramovitz. He has sued his ex-girlfriend, and he won $300,000 in general damages, including loss of reputation, loss of educational opportunity, and loss of 2 years of potential income. And as a bonus, the judge was like, F that chick. I'm going to tack on an extra $50,000 for her despicable interference in his career.
That's a horrible thing to do.
Unbelievable.
Is what she did illegal? Is there any legal avenue this kid can take?
I would assume it was illegal.
I mean, didn't he sue her in court?
Yeah.
And win?
Oh, is that what this...
The judge sided with
the judge came from. Okay. It was against her. Got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I wonder if she is eligible. He may have sued her for damages, but I wonder if she's guilty of any crime, I guess, is what I'm asking. For hacking into somebody's email.
Impersonating two separate people. Really?
Yeah, maybe so. That must have been stunning for him to have been walking around with that hanging over his head for a couple of years.
Bummed.
And then to find out not only had he been accepted to the program, but it was somebody that he loved and was living with that did that. What was her motive, Allie?
Oh, she wanted him to stay. She didn't want him to leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm just saying, clarinet dude must have been putting it down, right?
He has something going on that we don't know about.
There's no way clarinet dude was putting it down.
If he could keep a lady, I don't know. Well, that's the topic on the table is sabotage. We're talking about sabotage. I don't know that we're going to have anything as awful as this. I kind of hope not. But we are looking for somebody sabotaged you, right? That's what we're looking for.
Or you sabotage somebody.
Yeah, right. or you could be the saboteur. Absolutely, yeah. So somebody did something to make sure that something didn't happen or did happen to a person. That's what we're looking for right now. What kinds of things do you think we're going to get for sabotage? I'm sure there are a lot of people who have monkeyed around with email. You know, I want to make sure you don't get that party invitation and things like that, I bet.
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine there's anything, like you said, worse than this.
Yeah, I mean, I hope
really
not.
Really bad.
I hope not. But I'm sure there are some people who've been done dirty, though. Some people who have had, you know, had their bank account cleaned out by a boyfriend or something like that.
Sure.
So this is going to be a fun conversation for everybody to relive these memories, right?
Good times.
So we're looking for you. We're sabotaged. Or you were the saboteur, you can call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right, just had a Blink-182. Let's take one call and make it Neil in Fullerton. Good morning, Neil.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, real quick, like, I live with my girlfriend, had another girl come over. She decides to get her lips put up and put lipstick on my girlfriend's pillow, turn the pillow upside down, and used her hairbrush. Got caught.
Wait. Okay. The topic is sabotage. So she sabotaged you, did that on purpose so that your girlfriend would see that you had had another woman in the bed.
Exactly.
Why?
That's a woman for you.
Says the dude that was cheating on his live-in girlfriend with another chick.
I'm going to let that stand, Neil.
But guess what I did to her, though?
I don't think I want to know.
And cut her hair.
Neil, you sound awful.
Right, let's hang up. Thank you for the call.
You sound like an awful human being.
Wow, I am a team girlfriend. Are you guys?
Yes.
All right, 1-800-520-106. If your call's next, I'm here. Remember the Neil times, you guys?
That dude was great, huh?
He got two women to date him, by the way. Oh. They're nice guys out there. Can't get one. What's up with that? Allie brought us a story about a musician who was up for a prestigious scholarship. He got the scholarship but didn't know it for years because his girlfriend faked that he didn't get the scholarship. She sabotaged him. And that's what we're talking about here this morning on the Kevin Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Have you ever sabotaged anyone on purpose or have you been sabotaged? Why don't we start with, let's go to Sue Long Beach, please. Line 1, taking your calls, text as well, same number, 1-800-520-1067. Good morning, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
We are good, thank you.
You were sabotaged.
Yes, I was, by my mother.
Your mother? Oh. Okay, what happened?
Well, my mother and my older brother decided they were going to lie to me for years about who my dad was
so that they could get lots of money out of him, and I wouldn't be able to tell him the truth.
All right, I'm trying to.
So they told. So they told another dude. Was he your brother's father?
Yes.
Okay, so
he's
they
my
told
my brother's father.
Your
they
brother's
look exactly alike.
Okay. So they told him that you were his kid as well, so that they could get a lot of money from him.
No, what she did is she told me I wasn't his kid so that I would stay away from him and not be able to tell him the truth.
Oh, wow. I see.
Wow, this,
yeah.
We were trying to have fun.
Yeah, this got
real sad.
This got painful, man. You should be on with 23andMe right now instead of us.
Hey, Carmen, I found my dad. He's an amazing guy. Karma okay. is what it is. My mom's gone and my brother's sister, so hey, I won.
Okay. All right. Why don't we just leave it there?
That went so fast.
Okay. It really did. Okay. All right.
Look,
let's try.
We're just trying to goof around here, people.
Let's try. That was sad. There was some pain there, you guys.
Right?
Oh, let's go to line five. Let's say hi to Alana. She is in Corona up next on the Kevin Meade Show. Alana, something a little cheerier, please.
Well, I'm in Sherman Oaks, actually.
Okay.
I was talking to a guy online, and my roommate at the time said, oh, you won't like him. I went to high school with him. He's such a nerd. Just all of this bad stuff about him. And I went to Israel for 2 weeks, and I came back, and she had logged into my computer and started dating him.
Oh, my.
So she told you he was terrible so you would lose interest, and then she hit on him.
Yeah, and so when I came back, all my friends were like, well, why are you mad you never dated him? I said, that's not the point. She logged into my computer like, that's shady.
Is she still your roommate?
Yeah, she was my roommate. I had I was one of four roommates, and thank goodness I didn't share a room with her. But I was stupid and forgave her, and then we still lived together. And when I lost my grandfather, she told me after a week, you're bringing me down. You need to get over him.
Whoa.
And then she was like, because we used to do it, me and your grandfather.
Well, it surprised me because my grandfather was like that. So
no.
This story is everything.
It really does.
This is the weirdest.
I wrote her a letter as with lyrics from the Dixie Chicks, Not Ready to Make Nice. I was so pissed.
This is the weirdest collection of folks we've ever talked to. But thank you very much, Alana.
Thank you,
Alana. We appreciate it. Dear Kevin and B, this one comes in text from the 612. Where's the 612, you guys?
Don't know.
When I tried to move out of an apartment I shared with my ex-girlfriend, she got into my email, sent replies to every apartment inquiry that I had sent out, saying that I was a psycho murderer. She cleaned out my bank. She emailed my coworkers, told them I was a heroin addict. She changed all my passwords, then called the police and said I had tied her up as a prisoner for the last few weeks. Fortunately, the police saw right through her drunken BS and called me. Good times. That's Cliff writing in. That sounds like a nightmare as well.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a woman for you, though, right?
No, Neil.
That's what we learned. All right, we got time for one or two more, Kevin. Who do you like here?
I mean, I like it's tough to say because we're trying to get lighthearted calls. All right, let's go to Paul in Los Angeles. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Now, it looks like maybe you were the saboteur in this case?
Yeah, I was like a complete dick to my wife at the time. She got into a school in Kansas for veterinary school.
Right.
And I didn't want to go to Kansas, so I was like, dude, I'm going to totally just, like, blow up my relationship so I don't have to be the one to break up with her because I actually did like her.
Oh. This was your wife.
What's up?
This was your wife, not just a girlfriend?
Well, she's my wife now, but at the time she was my girlfriend.
Okay.
She's still your wife?
That is shocking.
Wait a minute. So you blew up the relationship so you wouldn't have to move to Kansas, and now you're still with her?
Yeah, basically she got waitlisted at a local school, got into the local school, then I was like, damn it, I have to...
Stay with her? That's women for you. Right, Paul?
Thank you for the call. Let's try Jesse.
What is going on?
Let's try Jesse line six while we get to that one. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was the slowest guy on my high school cross country team my freshman year in high school. The very last race of the year, I convinced one other runner to hang back with me. And then I torched him on the last 100 meters. I wasn't last that time.
That's awesome.
See, that's what we were looking for.
That's comedy right there.
That's fun for everybody. All right, let's see if Jesse can have us go out on a high note here.
Hey, Jesse.
Oh, hello.
Nope. This is Kevin and